Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callen. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are so excited today. Even though a lot of things didn't go right for us this morning, we know that the Lord is working it out for our good. So, without further ado, we want to go in. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name, we exalt you, we magnify you, Lord. We thank you for another opportunity to come and break this bread that you have given us. And we're thanking you, Father, because we know that you are keeping all things together for you, for our good and for your glory. We pray, O God, today that you will speak through us as you have spoken to us this day. You have given us supernatural favor in the land of the living. We praise you, Lord God, and we glorify you. Lord, we lift up the people of God that have made a decision to serve you, to live for you, in spite of all that's going on in the world right now. Holy Spirit of the living God, we welcome you to come. Come, O God, and do for us what only you can do. Help us, O God, in this time of need. Bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name. We bless you and praise you, God. Sanctify the airways. Move by your Spirit this morning, O God, in Jesus' holy name. We lost a little time, but that's all right. We're going to go into Ezekiel chapter 16, where we were yesterday, and we're going to start at verse 35, talking about judgment is coming on the church. Judgment's coming on the church for her prostitution. Judgment is coming. How many of you know that if we continue in sin, that we will be judged? The Bible said this way, that we will be judged whether we do good or do bad. We're going to have to pay for what we do, what we say, and what we do. And here in this book of the New Living Translation, glory to God, it says judgment is coming on Jerusalem, prostitution, on Jerusalem's prostitution. So here, let's go into the text and read here. Here from verse 35. He says, wherefore, O harlot, or O prostitute, he says, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. In the New Living Translation says, therefore, you prostitute, listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says, because you have poured out your lusts and exposed yourself in prostitution to all your lovers, and because you have worshipped detestable or abominable idols, and because you have slaughtered your children as sacrifices to your gods, this is what I am going to do. I will gather together all your allies, the lovers with whom you have sinned, both those you love and those you hated, and I will strip you naked in front of them so they can stare at you. God said he's going to expose those that has turned away from him, those who have rejected him, those who have sinned against him, those who have gone astray, a whoring with other gods, who have begun to sacrifice and honor other gods. This is what God says. He said, I will punish you for your murder and adultery. I will cover you with blood in my jealous fury. God is not playing, people. Folk think that he is just a God of love, and he is, but not a God of wrath, and he is. He is a God of wrath. He loves, and he corrects. He chastises. This is the God that we serve. Folk think that they can just run around and play any old thing with God, and God will say, well, that's okay. You're my children. You can act any old way, but that's not the truth. The truth is that God is going to chastise us just like we chastise our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren when they act foolish. We take a belt and we whip them, or we take a cord or a branch from a tree and we whip their behind because we want them to understand that what they're doing is wrong. God chastises us too. Sometimes he chastises us for allowing sickness to come upon us, or sometimes he chastises us with allowing us to fail in areas of our life that we think that we can be successful. God chastises us, even though he loves. The Bible says he chastens those that he loves. So don't think that because God loves you that God's going to let you escape with sinning against him and acting a fool. You know, you're in the house, you're out the house. You're in the house, you're out the house. 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the house. No, God is not going to let you keep doing that, playing a game with him. And I sent you playing Russian roulette with him. I'm late this morning because I was supposed to go and turn in my tags to get new tags and switch everything over to my name. And as I was done at the motor division of motor vehicles, I dropped my phone. I had to take off the tag, so the phone slipped off my pants and I didn't see it. And I went into DMV and didn't get 10 because then I needed some more papers that they didn't tell me that I needed these papers. So I had to come back home and call Geico and get them to email me some information. And I drive back down there, then they couldn't do what I want done. So now I had to come back. So I lost a lot of time this morning. But somebody turned in my phone, and that was a blessing because I just got that phone last year. You know, I was in Louisiana and lost my phone, leave my phone in the cab. And the girl, I know she took the phone because she checks her phone. She's a young woman, African-American woman, but she didn't ever call me. I called her. We sent messages to her, company, and they never got back to me and booked my phone. So I had to call the insurance and get a new phone. But anyway, these people there this morning, they were honest people to turn in the phone. When I called the number when I got home, DMV that said that somebody had turned in the phone. So I went down there and got my phone. I come back here. But here we're talking about judgment is coming on the church for her prostitution. And a lot of people don't, you know, sometimes when we are going back and forth and we're doing things contrary to God, we don't see this prostitution. We only think prostitution is where you go into a brothel and you pay for sex. But God says when we leave him and we go worshiping other things, that we are prostituting. He said we are prostituting. Why? Because we are giving something that only belongs to him to other gods. So he called it prostitution. He said that we leave and go on a whoring. We are going a whoring against him with other gods, with other entities, with other things that make us feel good. So God said right here, he said here in this book of Ezekiel chapter 16, we start at verse 35, and he said to them, I will punish you, verse 38, I will punish you for your murder and adultery. I will cover you with blood in my jealous anger or fury. He said, then I will give you to these many nations who you are lovers, who are your lovers, excuse me, and they will destroy you. They will knock down your pagan shrines and the altars to your idols. They will strip you and take your beautiful jewels, leaving you stark naked. Now, as I was looking at this last night, and I was seeing that how we have a lot of allies in the United States of America, and we give them so much. While we have the poor here, and this book here talk about it, while we have the poor suffering, we have vets on the streets. We have single mothers living out their cars in California. Hallelujah. Got to bed on the street, wash up themselves in a tent. While we are sending billions of dollars of the taxpayers' money to Ukraine and to different nations that don't care for us. We give Afghanistan $83 billion. You hear what I'm saying? All these billions of dollars of weapons we give to them, plus we give them so many billions in cash, and we have men that lost legs, lost arms, lost limbs in different wars in Iraq, in different wars, many different wars that they fought for this country, and they're on the streets with one leg, one arm. Some lose an eye. Some has lost everything, lost their family, because after they come back and they had these things that they ingest in their systems, breathing all these different things that was on the battlefield and turned them insane. The children, their wives and the children didn't want to be with them. The wives leave them and go on with the children. So they become homeless and insane. Nobody want to deal with them. And we leave them on the streets. God say, look, and now we are sending money for all of these countries while we have our poor here suffering. We're letting people in from different countries through the border, open borders. This is all that's going on right now. And we are we're putting them up in hotels, giving them free cell phones. All this is taxpayers' money. Millions of dollars our government is spending. This wicked president that we have, and people, a lot of Christians vote for him because they say, well, he was the one. Trump was a bad man because he grabbed a woman's crutch. You understand? But we forget that we voted. They forget. These Christians, these prophets, these pastors, the evangelists, and all of them that went on and vote for this Democratic Party, and they vote for a party. Well, they didn't. Maybe the Democratic Party didn't grab a woman's crutch. Not saying that Trump was right or wrong or whatever they feel to say, but they vote for a system that sanctions same-sex marriage or sanctions abortion and all that stuff. Hallelujah. You jump out the frying pan and jump right into the fire. And now the same president that was supposed to unite this country, because this is what he told the people. I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But they say, the Republicans are racist. They are divisive. And there's no more divisive than this Democratic, believe it or not. You all that got eyes to see, ears to hear, and have a clear understanding, you will see. They stand for abortion. They stand for prostitution. They stand for sex trafficking, human trafficking, all this stuff they're doing. And now they're sending the money out. And if God say, hey, look what God said to them. This is the word of God. God said, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because you have poured out your lust and exposed yourself in prostitution to all your lovers, and because you have worshipped detestable idols, and because you have slaughtered your children as sacrifices to your gods, what are they doing? We're missing children all the time. There's so many thousands of kids that are lost, if not millions, in this United States. And I mean, where can you go that nobody sees you? You know, you see your picture on television. If you were alive, you would call somebody. You hear your name on the radio, you would call somebody whenever you get a chance. But these people, these kids are given in sacrifices to the satanic gods. He said, this is what I'm going to do to you. This is God speaking. He said, I will gather together all of your allies. We got many allies that we are given to. We are sown into them. The United States is sown into them because we said they are our allies. He said, the lovers with whom you have sinned, both those you love and those you hated. And I will strip you naked in front of them so they can stare at you. God say this. And I'm telling you now, hopefully I live to see it. And hopefully that they repent before God put this on them. But I'm telling you that judgment is coming on this nation like never before. And all of them apostles and prophets and evangelists, so-called prophets, so-called evangelists, all of them so, because they're not sold out to God. It's the word that we'll hear when God is speaking. I hear somebody come on here and say, that, oh, well, I prayed and God told me to vote for the Democratic Party. Well, I don't really believe that God going to tell you to vote for a party that is sanctioning abortion and sanctioning same sex. I don't believe that. I could be wrong, but I don't believe that. A lot of people that say they hear God say, but they don't realize that they're hearing three voices. We hear three voices all the time. The voice of the Savior, the voice of Satan. Satan never stop talking. And the voice of your own flesh. Your own flesh. That's why we have to, don't jump. But I heard the Lord say. No, you better ask yourself. Ask the Lord, is that you speaking to me, Lord? Before I go prophesy, before I go and vote, open my mouth and speak and say, the Lord say something to me. Man, I hear the voice and I say, Lord, if it's you, I show me. Show me in another way. Confirm what you that it's you. And I can turn on the TV and what have I heard in my spirit? Something would happen on the TV to line up with what I heard in my spirit to let me know it's God. Or I turn my Bible, open my Bible, and here I go start reading or studying, and it would be something pertaining to what God say, to confirm what God say. Don't jump off as soon as you hear something, because Satan, he disguises his voice. You know, he disguises his voice. The Bible say he's transformed as an angel of light. You know, as ministering angels. And you got to watch yourself. I mean, don't jump off. So you hear, I got to just tell you this because the Lord. No. No, a lot of times you hear me, I say stuff on Blog Talk Radio. Man, I hear it 3-4 times before I speak it. 3-4 times. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to say a word that didn't come from you. And if it didn't come from you, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak again. Why? Because my only objective is to glorify the God, the Lord of my salvation, and to fight the body of Christ and terrify the devil. You know, so I got to watch before I say something. Then he said in verse 39, then I will give you to these many nations who are your lovers, and they will destroy you. He said, they will knock down your pagan shrines and the altars to your idols. They will strip you and tear your beautiful jewels and leaving you stark naked. God said he's going to expose us. Listen. He's going to expose them. Understand? They think that we think as a nation that we're standing so high. We think that we are so powerful that the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel can't put us down. But I got news for you. Egypt was feeling the same way. Pharaoh and all of his chariots felt the same way. They were so strong. And God said, look, I'm just gonna show you. Because when I bring out my people, I'm going to release my people. I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand. 10 plagues. Do you know God could have put the last plague first? He could have killed Pharaoh's son early And Pharaoh was ready to let them free. But he said, no, I don't want to do this thing so easy. I'm going to send you some frogs. I'm going to send you some lice. I'm going to send you some flies. I'm going to turn water into blood. I'm going to do some stuff. Oh, my Lord. He said, I'm going to do some things and let you know that I got power to do many things before I do the main thing. You're going to have to let my people go. Not only are you going to let them go, but they're going to come out blessed. They're going to come up with more than enough. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see things that happen and you say, well, why all this stuff happened? God just let some stuff happen. God getting ready to bless you with supernatural blessings, more than you ever experienced before. You say, well, I'm losing this alone. No, God going to blame. No, Israel will complaining. When they come out of Israel, come out of Egypt, they didn't come out empty-handed. They come up with gold and linen and purples and all types of stuff. They come up with animals. They had seeds and stuff to plant, vineyards and crops and all this stuff. They had everything they need to make provisions for their new life. God make sure they had everything. Here, look. God said, but look, because I'm seeing America in this, and I'm seeing the church, how the church has become so connected to the world, thinking that I was watching some pastor there on YouTube, and the pastor got all of these tattoos on. And you can tell that he's adding tattoos on. Every time I see him, he has more tattoos on. And he's very sharp paints, and sometimes he have his chest open so the congregation can see his pectoral muscles. You're a servant of God. You got to dress a certain way. We talk about the women, when the women on the altar, and they don't have no breasts on their breasts, no bras on, and their breasts is jumping up. What about the men? They open their chest. The buttons, 2-3 buttons open so you can see the pectoral muscles. Who are you trying to impress? You're a servant of God. This is why God is bringing correction to the house. They're no longer dressing like men of God. They don't even want to wear a tie. They don't want to wear a priest collar. They don't want to wear a robe. Not that the robe makes you so different. God wants you to represent him. All them apostles, they wear robes. These people go on any kind of way. Women got tight pants on. You can see the panty line. The men don't wear no drawers. And you can see they're down, hanging down in their pants. And they're on the altar. I've seen them in my own eyes. Tight pants like they're a woman. They're representing God. God said, no, I'm going to bring judgment to you. You're worshiping something. You're putting on something. You're putting on a show for your God, not for me, because that's not what I require. I require holiness. I require righteousness. I require obedience, but you're not obedient to my word. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I say to do. We try to impress the people. How was that DMV trying to get these ties changed? I got to make another appointment. And these people are so lazy here in Ohio. They don't want to do no work. They want to get paid. So I got to make another appointment to go back down there. I had to come home and call the insurance company to get them to email me a piece of paper they needed. Then when they get back there, they can't even take care of me now. They got to make another appointment to go back down there another day. You mean, so people, you already been there. You made an appointment, a special appointment for this morning. Well, they didn't even tell what paper you had to get. So now you get there and say, well, you need to have this. How do you know all this stuff that you got to get? These people working in this area are supposed to tell you. But you get them if you don't have it. They say, well, you need this thing. And then when you go home and get it, or go where you got to go and get it done, and get back, they say they can't use you, can't serve you now. You got to plan another day. Another day. Suppose you had a job. You got to take another day off from your job. You're losing time and money. Because these people don't want to do what you want to get paid, but they don't want to do their job. Listen to what God says. God is speaking to us, man. He says, they will bind together in a mob to stone you and cut you up with swords. See, but these people have come to a place where they're not focusing on serving the Lord. They're serving themselves. And we've seen that a lot of leaders today are serving themselves. They're not serving God. That's why if they were serving God, they would teach and preach according to this manuscript. Somebody said we lost 14 or 15 books from the Bible. Well, it doesn't matter how many we lost. Some man was saying 200-something. Yeah, I don't know where he get that number from. I heard him on talking on YouTube. He said, I think we lost 200-something, 218. I said, I know it says between 14 and 16, something like that. But it doesn't matter how much they hide. Doesn't matter how much the Catholic people and the European people take out this book. We got enough. We got enough to be obedient to God. Enough to lead us on that straight and narrow path. 66 books is enough. It's enough, more than enough. People complain that they don't have, they lost some books, but they're not even using what they have. They're watering down what they have to please their own self so they can have them big checks coming every month. The one man was he was speaking so much for his congregation, and he had impressed the congregation that they had to find a virgin. They had to find a virgin, two virgins, a virgin boy and a virgin girl. And then they would have them sex in the church, and this baby they would make the baby as sacrifice for the pastor to get power. Do you hear what I'm saying? All this stuff is going on. They don't read the mind. The power's right here in the manuscript. Obedience to the Savior. He said, all things that you need, I'll give you. If you love me and keep my commandments. Love him, keep the commandments. Obey the instructions that's in this manual. We deviate this country that says, in God we trust, but which God? Which God are we trusting in? It's on our money, and God we trust. I ask you, which God are we trusting in? You know what I'm going to tell you, which God we're trusting in? The satanic God. The God of this world. That's the God that this country is. Not you all. Don't get mad at me and stone me like you stone Peter, Stephen. Listen, this country is worshiping the satanic gods. The sun gods, the moon gods, all of this, the God of the ocean, the marine God, all this stuff they're worshiping. But not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. They don't want you to talk about the cross anymore. They don't want to want you to talk about a resurrected power. They don't want you to, they don't believe in it. They don't even believe that he came and went to the cross and said that's a myth. Don't let them cause you to deviate from the truth. Stay on this straight and narrow path. Yes, it's not always going to be fine for us. We're not always going to find it real smooth running for us. But in the time that we're going down this straight and narrow path and the roughness come, he is going to make them crooked places straight for us. He's going to make the rough places smooth, plain for us according to the word. And we know the word is true. Because it said in the beginning with the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we know he's going to make, we just got to stay on the path. Don't deviate because over there look like it's shining. I said, you look over at the neighbor's lawn, and the neighbor's lawn look real green, but you don't know what they're using. They may be putting some kind of poisonous stuff on their lawn that is agreeing with their lawn. And they don't care that their kids might go play on that same lawn and pick up some of that stuff in their skin and their poison, and then they get sick or die. Don't be envious of their lawn because their lawn is green. I said, some people got 3-4 cars in the parking in the driveway. Don't get envious. You don't know what they're doing. Then when you see the ATF busting down their front door, you say, oh, I didn't know that they were drug dealers. I didn't know that there was one that was breaking into people's homes and the stores and stuff. Don't get envious, jealous over nobody's stuff. Be thankful for the stuff that God give you. When you got the stuff that come from God, you don't have to walk and look over your shoulder. You don't have to drive down the highway, and every time you see the flashing lights, got to be your feet trembling, can't stay on the accelerator, can't touch the brakes because you're so nervous because you know you got something going on. See, when you're walking with God, you don't have to look. I remember when times when I see the flashing light, Apostle, I'd be so nervous. Because I knew in the truck I had some marijuana, I had some cocaine or something, I had a pipe in the car or something. You hear what I'm saying? No, I don't have to. The light can flash and flash back and forth. It don't bother me none. I just pull over and let them pass by. I don't worry about them. Why? Because I know I'm walking right. Not perfect. Hear what I'm saying? I'm not walking perfect, but I know that I'm walking right enough that I don't have to worry about the police or the fire department. Listen, let's go into this stuff and get some of this in there. He ran late this morning, but God knows that it was in our intestines. It was in our intentions. He says, they will burn your homes, listen to him, and punish you in front of many women. I will stop your prostitution and end your payments to your many lovers. See, God bringing correction. Listen to me. Listen to me, people of God. God is bringing correction regardless of if you like it or not. And those of us that love him, if we slide a little bit, and I'm not giving you a license to slide, but if you slide a little bit, God going to chastise us. You know what? He's going to chastise us. He's not going to give us to the lions and the wolves because he loves us, because the Bible says he chastens those that he loves. He says, look. But first, because you have not remembered your youth, but have angered me by doing all these evil things, I will fully repay you for all of your sins, says the sovereign Lord. For you have added lewd acts, to all your detestable sins. Now, God begin to remind them that they're not even thinking about what he has done for them before or where the position they were in. Now, when we first came to this nation, we used to hear so many people 40-something years ago. We hear people talking about, oh, Jesus is this and God is this, and it's so loving, and we are a Christian nation. God said we forget our youth. That is our youth. When we were going to Sunday school and Bible study and how we were praising and exalting and magnifying God. But now, the world system has enlarged its mouth to draw us in that represent hell. And it looks so inviting to us that we forget about the great times that we had when we were serving the true and living God. We forget about it. And God began to remind the nation, Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, the United States of America, everyone who makes up Proverbs will say of you, like mother, like daughter. Listen to God. He's talking to Jerusalem, but you can put America right here. He said, for your mother loves her husband and her children. And so do you. And you are exactly like your sisters. For they despise their husbands and their children. Truly, your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Your eldest sister was Samaria. Listen to God. Who lived with her daughters in the north. Your youngest sister was Sodom, who lived with her daughters in the south. God is beginning to point out to them these sinful nations that was allied with them. And he see them as sisters and brothers, fathers and mothers. But what for God see? He said, but you have not merely sinned as they did. What's God? You quickly surpass them in corruption. Now, you know how we were so many times America would condemn other nations. Even like now. Even now how they're condemning Russia for bombing. And we're not in agreement with Russia bombing Ukraine. Don't think that's what I'm saying. I don't think any nation needs to bomb another nation. This world belongs to God. God's the one that spoke this into existence. And he's the one who gave men, women, boys, and girls life to live on this land. And all nations ought to be able to live together without trying to create demands on other nations like he created the world. God made the world for man to live in, not men. You see, but what happened is that we condemn other nations. And what for God says? What for God said? He pointed out Samaria and he pointed out Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says, but you have not merely sinned as they did. You quickly surpass them in corruption. We are condemning nations that we are doing worse, and we have done worse than they've done. We're condemning Russia right now. Look at what we did in Africa. Look at what we did in Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, all these nations we went into. We went into and we have created genocides that nobody talk about. We killed thousands of innocent people because we are superpower. You think God don't see that? He's speaking about it right here in this text right here. He said that we surpass our neighbors. We surpass the ones that we were condemning, that we were sticking our nose up at, we were pointing fingers at. You ever know we look at somebody and we say, well, she's a homosexual, she's a lesbian, he's a dope dealer. And at the same time, what are we doing? We leave our wife home and go out with another young woman. Leave our husband in and go with another young man. Matter of fact, we're doing worse. We got two boys. We in orgies. We're doing worse than they're doing. God has seen this. We study pointing fingers at people when we surpass them in sin. He said, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, Sodom and her daughters were never as wicked as you and your daughters. You look and see at the leadership in this country, in the world. I was watching the thing. I don't know if you all go on YouTube. I was watching the thing on YouTube and how one of those countries up there, I think they said it was Iran. Iran or one of them, Pakistan. But it was a comedian from that one of those countries. And the guy was playing Biden, and another guy dressed as a woman, you could tell his voice, was playing the vice president. And they were mocking them, how idiotic she sounds on the world stage, and how stupid he is, can't remember anything at all, even though they give him flashcards. He can't remember. When he tried to skip past what they were written on the paper or on the computer screen, he just blundered away. We criticize other nations. We criticize other people. We got to be careful when we talk about other pastors that are sinning. We got to be careful, and we got to make sure that we don't try taking the moke out of our brother's eye when we have a beam in ours. Check ourselves first. He says Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. She was proud and committed detestable sins. So I wipe her out, as you have seen. God said he had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for her sins. Even Samaria did not commit half your sins. You have done far more detestable things than your sisters ever did. They seem righteous compared to you. Now we're looking at people. And you've seen pastors and bishops right now are being exposed on YouTube. Some that you send money to, thousands of dollars you send to them. You use your gold credit card, your platinum, and you sent to them. You wouldn't sow a seed, no way that you were getting the truth in your local church, on your blog talk radio church line. You wouldn't sell $10, and you go and send to these super doctor theology prophets and apostles and all this stuff. And when you find out that they're doing these detestable things, you know what? I sent so much money to them, I didn't know that she would, I know he would, and all this stuff. God says here in the word, even Samaria did not commit half your sins. You have done far more detestable things than your sisters ever did. They seem righteous compared to you. You know, some of the stuff that we are talking about, Iran and Iraq and Syria and Egypt and all the places, that this stuff, and we, the United States of America, condemn them. The things that we are doing is worse, far more detestable than any of the stuff that they did. You're looking at these people that they kill people because they're not like them. But look at us. We sanctioning abortion that means, I think they said was 86 million babies had been, 86 or something million, I think that's it. I'm going to go back and Google that. They said million babies since the early 60s has been aborted. How can we talk about any other country? My friends, my brothers and sisters, we are called to teach and preach the truth. Not to compromise the truth, not to water it down because we want to get a check from somebody or get an offering from somebody. Glory to God. I lost my phone, dropped my phone, taken off my license plate at DMV. Came back home, and I was telling my honey, you ought to be watching the, and see why I was taking off the plate. The phone popped off the clip. Come all the way back, thought I'd leave it in the house. And somebody phoned it and went inside. And when I called her phone from here, the lady said, your phone is here at the desk. When you come back, it'll be here at the desk. I was getting ready to go get another phone because I need a phone for Blog Talk Radio. I can't do it without a phone. But because you live in right, some people are still bad. They're going to kill Christians. Believe what I'm telling you. They're going to behead Christians. They're going to dismember Christians. But you'll get a better member. If they cut off your hand, you'll get a better one than you had before when you see the Savior. If they steal your money, you're going to have more than you can spend. Matter of fact, you're not need any money because he's going to provide everything that we need. You know, when he comes and he gives the new Jerusalem, a new earth, a new heaven, we're not going to have to go to the grocery store. Everything we need is going to be provided for us. We can walk through the garden like Adam and Eve did before, and there's going to be everything that we can eat. The fruit, the herbs going to be there. We're going to need no snake, no steak and prime rib and fish. All the nutrients going to be on the trees that we need in the vineyard. That's going to be there for us. But we got to live to go there. Don't let nobody push you and cause you to turn backward from the path that you're on. I'd like to say that the payment is not much. Like you say, I work for the Lord. The payment is not much. But the retirement plan is out of this world. See, you may not have the money. You may not be getting a love offering or getting tithes and offering every week from somebody. But guess what? God is putting the check mark every time you do the prayer of salvation, every time you minister the word of God and you minister truth and don't compromise the word, God put a check mark there next to your name. That you have glorified him. You have edified his body and you terrify the devil, because when you preach the truth, you terrify the devil. That's why some of these places that you see with all these mega churches, devil ain't worried about them. He ain't worried about Bishop so-and-so, Apostle so-and-so, Evangelist so-and-so. He said, I'm not worried about them. They work for me. That's why they don't talk about the blood. They don't talk about the cross. They don't talk about the things that make sense, that would cause somebody to want to live. They don't talk about adultery. They don't talk about fornication. They don't talk about sin. They don't speak on it. They walk around and shake their head and lean backward, and they sound real prolific because they know how to release the word. They know how to parlay the scriptures to make it sound good. Make it sound like it's edifying. Hallelujah, but it's not sanctifying. It's not glorifying. Hallelujah. You need a word that's going to burn you on the inside. Like these preachers come on here, the prophetess and the apostle and the bishop come on here and preach, and the minister and preach the word. And when they preach the word, what happens is you can't even get off the line. Even the computer shut down, but the line is still on. Still giving us time to talk, to minister to each other. That's when you know that the word is going forth. Because God has taken us to another dimension, another realm in him. Because truth will
Amen.
Do that to you. I can't even
yes.
get down to where one. Thank you, Apostle. Listen to what he says. He said, yes, your sisters. Plural. Now listen to what it says. God says something so profound in this text here. I'm coming out the living translation, new living translation. Now listen to what he says. Oh, Jesus. He says, even Samaria did not commit half your sins. We read that. Verse 52, he says, shame on you. Your sins are so terrible that you make your sisters seem righteous, even virtuous. You can imagine that we sin so, the sin that we are committing daily in all nations make Samaria and Sodom seems like righteous, like righteous nations to compare with us. This is what God is saying. So what we got to do, we have to validate ourselves, go ahead and take an inventory of our own hearts. Instead of trying to destroy other nations, we got to take inventory of ourselves. We got millions of poor people, homeless people sleeping on our streets. But we trying to send millions and billions of the taxpayer money to other countries to make them look good while we got while our own backyards in trouble. We trying to fix other nations' borders while our borders are wide open. How can you fix somebody's eye problem when your eye is jacked up? Understand what I'm saying? How can I come and tell you that you can't, you should not be sinning when I'm the chief sinner? I'm the chief of the sinners. Now I gotta stop. I gotta look at myself and say, no, Lord, I need help in this area. You know, I need help in this area, Lord. I'm falling short in this area. This is what America needs to do. And if America don't repent, it's gonna experience the wrath of God like never before. And many people, all these people with all the money and all their cars and their homes and boats and yachts and all this stuff. I was watching the show they got on our YouTube. You all go on there and check it out. America has built all these bunkers in the middle of the United States. Over there in Arizona, somewhere in the middle of the United States. And they got bunkers, I mean hundreds and hundreds of bunkers. If not thousands, and they had all this ammunition and bombs and stuff they had stored there at one point. I don't know where they got the bombs now, but the bombs are not in them bunkers because the bunkers are for sale. And it's like a big old cabin made of 18-inch thick or 2-foot thick concrete. And they're for sale for $35,000. They don't have nothing. It's just a big old thing. They can drive a tractor, 2, 3, 4 tractor trailers up inside them. They're for sale at $35,000. It's on YouTube. Go on, you'll see for yourself. And then they have companies that build the rooms. They build rooms, put bathrooms and everything. They're awesome. They're in Arizona. And then they got this other thing that they got going on where they're trying to size you up to make you fall away from what you believe. Hallelujah. And we got to get to this place in our walk that nothing distract us. They don't want you to talk about holiness anymore. They don't want you to talk about sin anymore. They want to have total complete control over you. We got to know what they're doing. They want to make you like a robot. Then they can control you like a yo-yo on a finger. The string on the finger that kick that roll yo-yo and turn it every which way to want to turn it. No, you're not going to know yo-yo. You're a child of God. This is what God says. God is speaking to us. I'm going to get this down to where I want to go. Jesus. He says, whoo. He said, but someday I will restore the fortunes of Sodom and Samaria, and I will restore you too, said the Lord. Then you will be truly ashamed of everything you have done. For your sins, listen to what he says, not sin, your sins, plural, make them feel good in comparison. Other nations are feeling good. Now, when folk look at us, I hear people in the other day was on a computer from different nations was saying that all leader was supposed to be the the world leader. But now he looked like a comic, a comedian. I said, my God. See, this is how people look at the believer, or so-called believer, that refused to walk according to God's word. They said, you're no comparison to them. You're doing even worse than them. Yes, your sister Sodom and Samaria and all the people will be restored. And at that time, you also will be restored. In your proud days, you held Sodom in contempt. You were judging Sodom in the time that you were walking in your proudness. We got our chest up, and we're looking down at the homosexual, the lesbian, the dope dealer, the prostitute, the whoremonger. We're looking down at them. At the same time, in closed doors, behind closed doors, we are committing even viler sins. He said, but now your greater wickedness has been exposed to all the world. And you are the one who is scorned by Edom and all her neighbors and by Philistia. Now, look at us. We were talking with all the other countries. And this thing that's going on in Ukraine, it's exposing all of our governmental officers. It's exposing them. People are talking about money laundering, sex trafficking, children molestation, children trafficking, human trafficking. All this stuff is coming up. That is saying that the governmental officers, the leaders in the United States of America, that's pushing their chest so high, has done worse than other countries. God's saying, if you proclaim that you are his son, you are his daughter, you ought to walk different. You ought to live different. I'm talking about us. We ought to live different. We ought to be different. That's why you hear me always say, don't just teach the word. Don't just preach the word, but be the word. Be the word. Because it's going times are coming that the word that's in your belly is going to be tested. Listen to me. There's times coming that the word that's in our bellies going to be tested. It's going to be tested, tried and tested, see if you are really who you said you are in the presence of God. God is everywhere. We're in his presence. And it's going to be tested to see if I'm really the man of God that I said I am. Are you really the woman of God you said you are? It's going to be tested. Can you still stand and say, yes, I'm sold out? I play that song next week, sold out. Listen to what he says. This is so powerful. This is your punishment for all your lewdness and detestable sins, says the Lord. Now, this is what the sovereign Lord says. God is speaking. I will give you what you deserve. Hear what God's saying. You've been acting like you were all that in the bag of chips and the Pepsi-Cola. But God said, I'm going to give you what you deserve for your sinful lewdness. Walking around exposing yourself. Doing all type of promiscuousness. God said, I'm going to give you what you deserve. For you have taken your solemn vows lightly by breaking your covenant. See, we make covenants to serve the Lord, to serve him. We make covenants that we're going to obey his laws. We went down in the water, we were baptized, and we came up speaking in tongues and say, yes, I love the Lord. You said, send me, Lord, I will go. But when you decide to go, how do you leave to go? You leave in a detestable way, in a detestable manner, not in a way that glorify God, not in a way that honor God. You begin to do things just like the world. And this is what God is saying. You have leaders today in the house of the Lord. Don't want us to talk about them. Don't want us to talk. So, them people over there on Blount Dark Church, man, all they do is talk about the church. Well, it's in the Bible.
Please stop.
It's in the Bible. When Jesus went in the temple, who you think he was messing with? He was messing with priests and rabbis.
Yes.
The men that were supposed to lead the church. the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. He was messing with them. Why? Because there was this counterfeit. There wasn't real. There wasn't the people that they're supposed to be. They proclaimed to know the law, but they didn't know the lawgiver. They proclaimed to know the law, but they didn't know the lawgiver. We have to know that we know that we know that we know that we have been washed. We have been cleansed. We have been renewed. We are being renewed every day. We are being taken from faith to faith and from glory to glory. We got to know this. When we know this on the inner side, what happens is that we begin living different. You begin to treat your wife as your queen, as your helpmate. I told my wife, we were sitting inside our DMV, and I lost my phone. So she said, well, am I supposed to be, I supposed to watch over everything? I said, yes, you're supposed to. So I had to give her some Bible. I said, do you understand what a helpmate is? You're not a slave, but you're my helpmate. And a helpmate has to look out for their helpmate. We help me one to another. See, if you sit down, I ought to look. When you get up, I ought to look and see if you got everything that's supposed to be in your pocket.
Glory.
I got to look.
Yes, Lord.
It's just something that has to happen in my heart.
Amen.
When you move, I look to see if everything that you came with, that you're leaving with. And God showed me while I was sitting there. This lady came in with two people that I think that were her cousins or something. And she had a pocketbook, had all her money and everything. And the boys got her from the seat and went somewhere inside DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles. And they leave this woman purse in the seat. Well, she had like two chairs between us and them. And they're gone, where they're gone. She come back from the country and go looking. She said, where are my cousins? What kind of cousins are these? When we treat our mates just like that, we're not concerned. We think that's a job. It's not a job. It's a covenant. That's part of the covenant. It's part of the covenant. My God is part of the covenant. We don't understand that. God is, we have made a covenant with God to serve him. How do we serve the covenant? How we perform the covenant? By serving people. We don't want to serve nobody, but we say we got a covenant with God. The covenant is not just between us and God. The covenant is between us, God, and his people. Oh, my God. I mean, you all will get this thing tomorrow. Listen to what he's saying. Look. He said, now this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will give you what you deserve, for you have taken your solemn vows lightly by breaking your covenant. You make a vow to God. You come into the ministry and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you say. Lord, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you. And we take it lightly because I don't like that pastor. The pastor respond to me who he think he is, who she thinks she is. It's not about the pastor. It's about the covenant that you made with God. You don't make no covenant to the pastor. The pastor don't have no heaven or hell to put you in. You make a covenant with the one who drew us out of darkness and drew us into his marvelous light, who took us out of the merry clay and put our feet on the rock of Jesus Christ, protecting us where we can't protect ourselves, leading us where we can't lead ourselves, seeing for us when we can't see, hearing for us when we can't hear. That's the one we make the covenant with. Then we break the covenant. We go on and do something that make us feel that feels good to us. God said his grace is sufficient for us. That's all we need to know. His grace is sufficient for us, so I'm going to hold on, even though I'm going through. I'm dealing with stuff in my body. I'm holding on. My heart, my liver, my kidney, my bladder, my eyes, my ears. I'm holding on, God, because I made a covenant with you. And I know you're not going to break the covenant, so I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to break it either, God. Listen to what he says. They take it lightly. They take this vow that they made lately by breaking the covenant. He said, yes, I will remember the covenant I made with you when you were young. See, in Jeremiah chapter 1, God make a covenant with Jeremiah. He never forget it, never broke it. He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb that I called you to be a prophet. Jeremiah started to complain. But just like Moses, that he couldn't talk. He had a speech problem. I got a speech problem. I don't know if you know this, but but I got a speech problem. I had it ever since I was a little boy. But my parents didn't have enough money to wait to because it can train you to how to speak, so to take that twist out of your tongue. Some words I can't pronounce. I know the word in my heart. I know it in my mind. But I can't pronounce it because I have a little twist in my tongue. And God told him, same thing to him. Well, who put the tongue in your mouth? Who put the mouth? Who gave the mouth? See, why don't you trust God? You will not let speech impediment stop you from doing what God said. Because God's going to speak. When I get up here and I'm tired, I'm sore, my body's aching with pain. And I said, the Lord said that. He said, turn on the computer, son. Just turn on. I said, I'm so tired. I just want to lay back across the bed and sleep, Lord. He said, turn on the computer. And once I turned on that computer, I started to walk back and forth playing the music. And I'm listening to worship. Something take hold of my body. I can't explain it to you. I know it's the Holy Ghost, but I tell you, it take over my body. And I tell Apostle, sometimes I tell Apostle, I would feel so weak, I feel so tired. But once I open my mouth, something take over. I don't have any notes. I'm coming straight out the Bible by the Spirit. And he takes over. And all of a sudden, I'm energized. I'm alive. I'm not tired. I'm not sleepy. My body's not aching anymore. There's no pain in my body. My heart is not aching. The blood, my arteries is not stiff. They loosen up. Why? Because of the Holy Ghost. The covenant you make with God, don't let anything cause you to falter, to break the covenant. He said, yet I, the sovereign Lord, will remember the covenant I made with you when you were young. And I would establish an everlasting covenant with you. See the covenant God make with you. All you need to do is walk. When I was smoking crack cocaine and God come into that house and drew me out, I leave all the cocaine there on the table. I was not cocaine, over an ounce of cocaine I leave on the table. And God told me, you will never get high again. I still try. You know that old nasty stinking flesh. How about Paul? I understand what Paul was saying. No good thing dwells in his flesh. My flesh was still telling me another time, well, you can get high. People have more cocaine. And I go try to get high. I tell you the truth. I smoked the pipe, put the thing to my mouth and inhale and hold the smoke. It all we hold. We want to hold and say we want to go up to the top of the mountain with that hit. Well, I hold long like I used to do before. And guess what? The best cocaine we had from Bolivia. I couldn't get high. Everybody was what you call geeking all over the floor, looking. When the coke is on the table, they're looking on the floor. Smoking in one room and they're looking, they call it fiending, going on other rooms and looking on the floor. Going in the mechanical room and they smoking in the mechanical, looking on the floor. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that he told me I would never be able to get high again. Even with the best cocaine that most coke users want to get to, that thing that comes from believing almost pure. And I couldn't get high. See, God, remember, he make a covenant with you. And God's not going to let anything take you out. You can only leave when he says leave. That's when he called you. We have to honor this covenant. He said, I'm making an everlasting covenant with you. His covenant is to protect you, to keep you, to shield you, to build you up, to strengthen you. In spite of everything that's going on in the world, God made the covenant to keep you. You are his ambassador. We are his ambassadors in this earth realm. And no devil in hell is going to move us. We're going to stand. Steadfast.
That's right.
Unremovable. Ooh, yeah. Abounding in the love of God. Then you will remember.
Amen.
Listen to what God said. God said, you will remember with shame all the evil you have done. See, when I think about the stuff that I've done, last night I was laying in bed, and I begin to think about the stuff. All that filthy stuff that I did when I was younger, back in the country. Oh, and I just began to praise God that God kept me in the midst of all that stuff, that I never had to go to the doctor with a venereal disease or anything like that. God kept me because God made a promise. He made a covenant. Hallelujah. He had made an oath, which is a promise that he would keep his covenant. Hallelujah. I will make your sisters, Samaria and Sodom, to be your daughters, even though they are not part of our covenant. And I will reaffirm my covenant with you, and you will know that I am the Lord. See, God wants everybody to know that you are his son. You are his daughter. Do you know that? God didn't just take us out of darkness just for us to just walk around. I can cue them, I knew. He wants the world to know that we belong to him. And how are they going to know? We have to allow the light that's in us to shine. We can't allow our light to dim out. We can't allow it to dim out and be like the world. We are the five wise, not the five foolish. But sometimes we act like the five foolish. God said, no, you're not the five foolish. You got oil in your lamp. Your wicks are trimmed. Let your light burn, that man will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. This is what God wants from us. He says, you will remember your sins and cover your mouth in silent shame, when I forgive you of all that you have done. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. If you read this book, I studied this last night in the Logos Bible. It's so powerful. It is so powerful, but I want to teach it because, you know, in the Logos Bible, they give you a lot of a narration and stuff. But here, coming out, you're just teaching straight from the Bible by the Spirit. And God says, there's no reason for us to talk. He says, know when to talk and when to be silent. Know, you know why you stay silent at times? Because you know, you realize that it's not you, but it's him. You talk when he says to talk. A lot of times we want to talk because we want people to see us and elevate us. God said, no, I'll tell you when to talk, because I'm the one elevating you. Just be silent and remember the sin that I've delivered you from. Father, I thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we know we started late, and we ask your forgiveness, Lord. Lord, you know that it wasn't my intention to come in here late, but Father, I'm grateful for you making crooked places straight and rough places plain. I'm grateful for you opening this door of ministry for me, for us, O God, that we can come and be soldiers on the wall like Nehemiah, that all of us can come and we can hold up the banner of Jesus Christ as ambassadors, as watchmen for the kingdom. Lord, there's no big eyes or small use here on this church line. We are all the same, Lord, because we recognize that it's not my line or my wife's line or my children's line, but we recognize that it's your ministry. And because you are the head of this ministry, we are all watchmen. And Father, we ask that you strengthen each and every one of us in every area of our lives that we are weak. And where we are strong, Father, we pray today in the precious name of Yeshua that you will strengthen us and make us even stronger. Lord, we ask you to touch Apostle Millie today, touch her sister, touch her daughter, touch her grandson, her son-in-law, her brother-in-law, all those that are in connection with her, connected to her, Lord. For your word declare you will perfect that which concerneth her. And Father, your word also said you would keep her in perfect peace. Father, I ask that you release your peace upon her, the peace of the Holy Spirit. Give her the joy of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, the righteousness of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for the prophet Al. Sure, Lord God, she's working, Lord. We ask you to keep her safe. Lord, we ask you to provide everything that she needs, because you said in your word that you will supply all her needs according to your riches and glory. And we pray for Minister Jones, Lord, that you keep him safe on the highway when he is driving that big truck on the highway. Lord, keep him awake behind the wheel, because we know he drives long distance, oh God. Keep his eyes safe and secure, that as he drives, Lord God, that he wouldn't go to sleep behind that wheel, that he'd know when to pull off and take a nap when he's feeling drowsy. Lord, we ask you to cover his children, cover his wife, cover the cat, cover the dog, Lord God. Lord, a parakeet if he has one. Lord, we ask you to cover everything that concerns him. And Father, we thank you for the bishop, my brother in Christ, who I love from the center of my heart. cover him, Lord, and continue to strengthen him. Keep him, O God, and let the light that shines from the heavenly throne room shine upon his life, Lord God, continually, that he see clearly, that darkness will have no dominion over him, Lord God. We pray for his children and grandchildren, O God, that God, that you manifest the anointing upon their lives, the anointing that protects, the anointing that heals, the anointing that delivers, the anointing that restores upon them, O God. As they go out, let their go in peace and return in peace, O God. And as they're out in the field, God, we ask, God, for traveling mercy, O God. Lord God, that there be no drive-bys, there be no sudden death, O God. Oh, no premature death take over them, Lord, but they shall live to declare the works of the Lord. And Father, we pray for the Apostle Linda Washington, God. We ask, oh God, that you continue to heal her eyes, heal her lips, heal her tongue, heal her ears, and heal, oh God, her feet and hands, oh God, her shoulders, her elbows, oh God, a hip bone, a knee bone, ankle bone. Lord, we pray, God, that you, oh God, adjust the marrow in her joints, oh God. We pray today that every inflammation in her body, oh God, let it subside now. Let it begin to flush out in the urine or the drought, oh God. Lord, we come against any eye infection right now in the name of Jesus. We speak against it right now. All eye infection must dry up at the root right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we thanking you and praise you for Apostle Stewart, Lord God, Ronnie Stewart, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father God, for all those people that leave the ministry because of COVID. God, bring them back and bring more, oh God. Draw more. You said nobody, no one can come to you except you draw them. So draw from the south, the north, the east, and the west, oh God. Draw to that ministry. That's the ministry that I partake in when I'm in Louisiana. And Lord, we know that when you go there, you're going to hear the word of God. You're going to hear sound doctrine, oh God. There's not going to be a watered-down word, but there's going to be a word that brings deliverance, that brings healing, that bring restoration. Lord, we ask that you draw. And God, we ask you to touch his wife, Pastor Joyce Stewart, oh God. She is a woman of God that, oh God, loved to teach the gospel. She teaches the truth, teaching on the different dispensations. Lord, we ask for strength, strengthen all of her children and all of her grandchildren, Lord. We ask, Father God, for you to mortify all that she has, all that she is doing. A woman that loved to give to the kingdom, oh God. Give, she sows into the kingdom. Every chance she gets, oh God, she sows into the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser. He is faithful. Even when I'm not on the line, he's on the line, hoping that I will come on. Oh, my Lord, I got back from DMV. He was the first one on the line. Still on the line. I said, my God, Deacon, you got a patience like Job. I pray, Father God, that you continue to bless this young man. And, Lord, he needs a wife, Lord. He's been praying for a wife. God, let this be the year that he find his wife. Lord, that he get out the house. And my God, because the wife is not coming to the house. You got to find her. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and receive favor from the Lord. In order to get her, you got to get out the house, because you can't stay up in the house in the bathtub, stay on the phone in the house thinking you're going to find her. You got to get out the house. You got to walk the neighborhood. You got to drive the neighborhood. You got to go out. You got to go to different church facilities, go to different buildings so you can find a woman. She's there waiting for you, but she's not coming to your house. And you got to tell mama, I got to go to this other church today. If the Lord speaks to you to go to visit, go. That may be where your wife is. Go and find her. She waiting for you. God wants to bless you with a wife because he wants you to be happy. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. God wants you to have a wife. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for all those from Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist Sheila. Thank you for Evangelist Tina, Lord. We just bless all of these women of God. Thank you for Minister Batmos. Thank you for her husband coming in soon. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. There's so many that come on this line that I can't call all the names, Lord, but God, you know all the names. Deacon Fraser know their names, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for Pastor Vic, Lord God, who is so instrumental in this ministry. You may not see it here on the ministry, but I tell you, that woman, she'll get on the phone. I'm not looking for her, because I never look into people to do stuff. Yeah. But she'll get on that phone, Apostle, and that woman will send me, buku money. Send me buku money. She said, Apostle, this is for the ministry to help you, because I know what you and the Blood Talk family is doing. He said, send this help, let this help you to help Africa and India. I tell you, I'm not talking about a dollar, Apostle, just like how you all sow. And Apostles run his store. When at the right time, it be the just what we need. I mean, we was able to do so much last month and month before. Apostle, you wouldn't believe that woman did. I mean, Man, just remind me of you and Bishop and Apostle. It just is so just people have a heart for God's people. When you have a heart for God's people, God have a heart for you. Do you know that? I didn't know that because I never was taught it. I had to see it in the book for myself. I had to find it in the book, and once I find that, we never without. I tell the truth, we never without. I sow into ministries and to people. And once I get it, I sow. I don't always have it.
Yes.
But I can't say I'm broke because if I said I'd be lame. You know, Apostle said, don't never. She put that in my spirit a couple of years ago. And I mean, I was blessed from that day. Because I would get on Blog Talk and say I was broke. I only had $2 or $3. I didn't have a dollar. And man, it seemed like I was shutting down my blessing. Didn't know I was shutting down my blessing. But when she told me that thing, and I said, man, I'm not broke. I got more than enough. Man, money started finding me. People started sending me money. I started getting jobs. I started getting jobs to do work and get money to help the kingdom. Because God said, all you got to do is speak it. He said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if I speak and say I'm broke, guess what I get? I'm getting broke. I'm getting brokenness. But once I say I have more than enough, I begin to get more than enough. I begin to get more than enough. People called me and said, well, Pastor, go on Cash App. Go on Zelle. I said, it's just happening. I come up to people, they see me, and they shake my hand and put $200 bills in my hand. I said, wow, praise the Lord. I was just telling somebody that the Lord going to bless me to bless you because they said, Pastor, I need some help. I said, well, the Lord going to bless me. I didn't say I didn't have nothing to help them right now, so the Lord going to bless me to bless you. Because I was taught that. You see, somebody drop something in your nugget in your spirit and you don't receive it, guess what? You reject your blessing. You shut down your blessing. When she told me that, I said, Lord, I got to use it. This is good. And I started saying I had more than enough. Yes. I didn't have no money in my pocket at the time. Didn't have the bank account. Was looking like somebody hit it with a broken stick. And I started saying there was money in the bank. I said, there was money in the bank. I said, there's money in the bank. And she said, what are you saying? There's money in the bank. I said, honey, there's money in the bank. I'm telling you, there's money in the bank.
Yes, God.
I tell something. Yeah, that we were saying. She was saying, wow. I said, there's money in the bank. Don't worry about it. There's money in the bank. And Uncle
That's
Sam
right.
sent us a little bit of money. Sent us a little bit of money. It may not sound like much to us, to you, but we didn't have to. And all of a sudden he said, Uncle Sam sent us like, I think, about $800. Just sent us $800.
Amen. Glory to God.
I said, God does that stuff. You got to say what That's God right. says. Somebody will give you some information that will bless you. And so, well, they say, you got to say you're blessed. Well, I'm going to say I'm blessed when I ain't got no money. I don't have a job. Well, you better say you're blessed. You better say you have more than enough. And what's God open the door for you? Because you're saying what God said. God said you have more than enough. Now you start saying what God said. Now you begin to get what God said you got have. See? That's the whole thing. God said it. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. People run around saying they're sick. Guess what happened? They stay sick. The sickness is not going to leave their body because they're claiming it. Now I'm saying I'm healed. I said I'm healed. I said, but you got pain in your heart. No, I'm healed. My heart is healed. And when my doctor said me, he said, Rev, what you doing? I said, I'm not doing anything. God did it. He said, what you doing? I said, doctor, I'm not doing anything, but God did it already. He put the things and checked me out. X-ray, he said, man, your arteries are open. Your heart is doing fine, like a young man's heart. I said, well, praise the Lord. I could have run around telling him, oh, doc, you know, I got all this stuff going on. Guess what happened? I'll be sick forever. And he'd come to here and give me medicine. But I start speaking what God said. I get the pain. I said, Lord, I just thank you for healing me. I said, Lord, I just thank you. Oh, I had a pain in my neck. The back left side of my neck was coming up my neck, coming out my shoulders and going straight to the back of my brain. And Honeycutt, it was some name of that part of the brain. And I said, Lord, I just thank you. I said, but I'm not receiving that. She said, well, this is what's going on. I said, no, I'm not receiving that. That's the God of this. Thank you for healing me. Lord, you know I got so much work to do for you. So, Father, I claim healing right now. I say my brain, stems are healed right now in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I just thank you for the medicine that you're pouring into me right now. I thank you for giving me a heavenly injection. I talk to him like that. I said, thank you for giving me a heavenly injection. And, God, I receive it. Next day, I know I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep on the bed. He put me to sleep. The medicine was so strong, I couldn't stay awake with the medicine. It was so strong that he gave me. I went to sleep. And when I get up, I said, baby, you know, man, that pain I was telling you about, had it for 3 days. I said, baby, it's gone. It was staying in my head till I speak what God said. God said, you heal. And I begin to say, Lord, I thank you for healing. I pray to him. And next day I know he put me to sleep. Give me the injection. I ain't had that pain since. I was scared of that pain too. I'm gonna tell the truth. In my natural sense, I was scared of that pain. Cause that pain, I hear people talk about that pain before. So when you get that pain at that back in the back of the neck like that, going up to the back of the brain, you gonna have a brain stroke. We'll give you a stroke, Richard. Then when you get a stroke in your brain, you get your muscles, your arm, your leg, or something will go out of shape. But I talk to God. Man, speak what God says. Don't let nobody keep you in bondage. Just say what God says. And I thank you, Apostle Linda, for giving that information about 3 years ago. You give me that. I haven't been broke since. Yeah, and I remember I was broke a lot of times. I was broke a lot of times. But when you give me that information, stop. You were chastising me. Said, Pastor, stop saying that you're broke. See, that's what a sister talked to you about. She said, Apostle, stop saying you. She didn't say, Apostle, please stop saying you're broke. She said, Apostle, stop saying you're broke. I mean, she chastised me right there on Blog Talk. I said, stop saying you're broke. My God, I said, Lord, I thank you. I didn't rebut her. I didn't complain. I humbled myself and I received that. And my God, I tell you, my life has never been the same. Never been the same.
Hallelujah.
Never been the same. Well, tell Bishop, you can come on in, Bishop, and do the prayer of salvation, Bishop, and then we'll open the line. Come on in, Bishop.
Come on in.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the blessings, Father God. Thank you.
Lord.
Thank you for all the many,
you,
many blessings for
many,
everyone.
Many.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You open up the mouth of our apostle to bless us all. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll never be blind another day in my life. You know? I'll never be ill another day in my life. I'll never be hurt in another day of my life because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. I ask everyone, I urge you to quickly receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I don't know if you watched the news. Apostle said it on the line yesterday, and I read it on the news. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for those people, and there was no one who perished. No one who perished in that shooting in New York, unless something came about that I didn't hear, but I heard the news on this morning. I don't know what time it was, about 3 or 4 o'clock this morning. I was scanning through my phone and I saw a New York City shooting and I blew it up as wide as I could read it. And it said that no one had died. Like 33 people were injured, you know. It was really, really a positive. It was so sad to hear about all those people being injured. Oh, but thank you, Jesus, for your grace and mercy. Now, as we speak, I urge everyone who has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior to do so at this time. And the Word of God says in the book of Romans chapter 10, in verse 8 and 9, and the first thing he says is, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. And that means that you must speak it out. Speak it out loud. You don't think about, yes, well, I repent, Lord. Just think it. No. Devil can't read your mind. He can inject the thoughts in your mind, but he can't read your mind. So speak your mind I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Please accept me in the kingdom, Father God. Hallelujah. I know I've sinned and fallen short of your glory. Oh, glorious Master. In verse 9, it tells you to make that confession and to repent. Repent, repent, repent. Every time you get a bad thought, repent. Rebuke it. Rebuke it. Don't go back to the way you were living. Don't go back to saying the things you were saying and doing the things you were doing. Hallelujah. World, that he gave his only begotten son, that whomever shall believe in him would not perish. Hallelujah, but have life everlasting. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to save the world. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving us a way out, the way. Jehovah, God, thank you for sending Jesus, our Lord and Savior, your darling, blessed Son, the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and iniquities. People of God, and I call you people of God, if you're listening to this, I know you're going to accept Jesus as your Savior if you never have. If you're backslidden, I know you're coming back home. Hallelujah, prodigal sons and daughters. The Father is standing afar off, but he can see you on your way back and say, Lord, I'm running for your kingdom. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Running for your kingdom. And we need kingdom builders. We don't need people. We need laborers. We don't need people who are going to fake it to make it, because they're not going to make it if they fake it. Believe what the Word of God says. Now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are now free. You're clean. You're a brand new creature in Christ. You're now an ambassador to the throne of God. You're an ambassador. Please use it wisely. Don't fall short of his glory anymore. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, which this does not mean that we have to continue sinning. We have to do things wrong. No, we've fallen short. So the mistakes that we have made were mistakes. Don't make any more mistakes. Come to Jesus while you still have time. There's no other way except Jesus. He is the only way through the throne of God. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your obedience to the Father and taking it up on your shoulders, all the pains and sufferings of the world, all the sins of the world, so we might benefit. Thank you, Jesus. No greater love than anyone has than to love his brother. Oh, Lord, and give his life for his brother. No greater love. And Jesus, you did that. You made the ultimate sacrifice. You gave up your life so that we might live. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Now, your next step is to be baptized. And as we do in the book of Acts, and Peter said unto them, repent, every one of you, hallelujah, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that can be found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38 through verse 40. Repent was the first words to come from Peter's mouth. Repent. Just like he said when he made the confession. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an outward sign to the enemy and to everyone in the world that you are on the side, the team of the Lord Jesus Christ, our coach, our team owner. Hallelujah. He's our everything. He's our everything. So congratulations for all who are on their way to be baptized, who have accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And whenever you get baptized, and I pray it be today, some people baptize every day, I imagine. I know that some people do it once a month, twice a month. No, Find a church that will baptize you today if you can in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like it says in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts at chapter 4, verse 12, it clearly states, for there's no other name under heaven that one should be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He is the way, the way maker. Congratulations. Welcome all of you to the family of God. Your slate is clean. You have a clean slate. There's no blemishes on your slate. They've been wiped clean by just accepting Jesus as your Savior. Keep it that way. Keep it clean. And all you brothers and sisters that have drifted off, remember the runs on the ladder, what the apostle was talking about. As you get higher, if you take a 12-foot ladder and you climb that ladder, the bottom is your foundation. It sits far apart. You open that ladder, and as you go higher on the ladder, it gets narrower. It makes it harder, you know, because the enemy wants to get you halfway up or three-quarters of the way up towards heaven and push you back down. Just hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Read your word every day. If you don't have a Bible, I strongly suggest that you get one as soon as possible. If you have to borrow a Bible from someone until you can purchase your own, do so. Somebody might just give you one because you ask about it. Lord, the Lord gives us gifts, and they give the gift of the word for you to read. And by the way, when you read it out loud, because the word says, and you hear the word. So read it out loud so you can hear yourself. Say it out loud. Don't whisper it. Don't read silently unless, you know, there's circumstances. You might be on a job and they don't want you to read your Bible. You know, they want you to do their work. But if you have 5 minutes, you know, read the Bible. Read something out the Bible and think about it for a while. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what he's saying. Hallelujah. He may tell you audibly, or he may send someone along, walk in the door, hi, how you doing, and start telling you exactly what you just read and what it means. God does things in his own way, in his own time. But he will give you an answer, one way or the other. God bless you, each and every one of you. Have a safe week, and as the apostle always says, if you got an earbud in your ears, just use one. Leave the other ear open so you can hear, because people are always trying to sneak up on you and do you some harm. Don't be paranoid, but just be careful. God bless each and every one of you. Follow the laws of the land, and most of all, follow the laws of God. Amen. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so much for the words, the prayer, the good words. Always good to hear the words of salvation.
Yes,
always good to hear people dying so fast.
That
was a miracle yesterday in New York City. You see it. You saw it on TV. It's a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
All them shots, that man shot off, get off about 38 shots, something like that.
Yes, quite a few.
Mm-hmm. He got off a lot, man. And when he kicked off that smoke bomb, one of the guns jammed. So they said it was two shooters. So they said that the gun jammed. And they head off the train, off the subway, and left the gun. But you know, God has a way of stopping evil, or curbing evil.
Yes.
They left everything that would expose who they are. They left the gun, one of the guns, and they left all the smoke thing and a lot of ammunition. They had planned to do terrible stuff, but when the gun jammed, people start running, they jump off the train. And then they parked the U-Haul truck and got out and got in some of the vehicle and got away. But you know that evil cannot win. Evil has already been defeated at the cross.
Amen.
But evil is still going to show his ugly head. You know, Satan don't give up easy. He don't give up easy. He's going to always try. You know, he's always going to try. But he don't like being defeated. You know. But we got to know that he defeated. And we got to know that we have the victory. Already have the victory. I'm not going to get victory. I'm not going to be victorious. I am victorious. I am victorious. We are victorious.
Yes,
we
got to
know that. It doesn't matter what's going on. We are victorious. How do I know that? Christ's cross tells me that. I am victorious.
Right.
We are victorious. The cross tells us that. That's the evidence of the cross. You know?
Man.
He said, death has been defeated. He said, oh, death, where is thy sting? So we got the victory already.
Yes, Lord.
That's why we shouldn't be living in fear about death. We already got the victory. Christ defeat death at the cross. Ah, my God, I just feel the joy of the Lord right there. Woo!
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. People are, it's no time for us to point fingers at others. We got to point our fingers at the devil. Let the devil know that the word of God is coming at him, and he can't stop it. And the word of God going to cut him every which way he stands. Every which way he stands, he's going to get cut. He's going to get
cut. Right.
That's all we got to do. Put out the word of God. No matter what's going on, put out the word of God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you.
So the line is open. The line is open. Glory to God. The line is open.
Glory. The word, I just want to say hallelujah and glory.
Hallelujah.
I want to jump out the truck and run. And the word was so good. Just a little bit of time you did come on. I came on there. I didn't want us. I came back. I said, Lord have mercy, man. You touched on so many things. Man, the word was just good in my soul. I wish I could have just jumped out of the truck and just ran a couple of miles and come back to the truck. But I couldn't do it, so I couldn't shout in the truck. So I had to just stomp my feet a little bit. As I said, God, thank you for the word. It was just so good, man. I tell you, man, you touched on so many points. Man, that word was good. I just thank God. I just want to just encourage you. Apostle, man, that word was good. I thank God for you, man. I really don't have anything to say. I just thank God for the word. It was just so good. It was good, man. You hit every point. I mean, you just, man, you nailed it on the head. I mean, can't come behind that, but the word was good, man. I just thank God for you, and I love y'all so much. And y'all continue praying for me, and I continue praying for you. And I pray that God bless me in my faith and my finances, that I can be a blessing to the ministry also. But I love y'all. Y'all are blessed. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. Thank you for your comment. And stay safe on the highway. You know, we keep you all and keep you in prayer all the time. And we keep each other in prayer. God's going to bless you even the more, you know. Not only that, virtually, the Lord is going to bless your household. And now God's going to take your ministry to another dimension in him. You know, you keep doing what he's doing, what you're doing, you know. Because God is pleased. God is pleased with your love and for him. And not because you're part of Blog Talk family, but God is pleased. Now, I'm going to tell you, I see you sharing the gospel. I see you standing outside the truck by the little diner and sharing the gospel. I saw you in the spirit sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. And God said he is pleased for your faithfulness to tell the truckers about him. You know, knowing that a lot of truckers do methamphetamines and smoke marijuana and cocaine, but God says you have denied that. You have denied that.
Amen.
And now you are taking a stand for righteousness. I hear the Lord saying that to my spirit. He said you're taking a stand for righteousness, and God should tell you that he is proud of you. He's very proud. God says he's proud of you, my son. He says I'm proud of you, my son.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He says keep doing what you're doing. He said remember, I have your back. He said, remember, I have your back.
Lord.
He said, fear not. I have your back, my son. I have your back. I have your
back. Thank you, Lord. Thank
Glory
you, Lord.
To God.
Glory.
Oh, I feel it so strong right there. I feel it so strong right there. The anointing right there.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I don't know what that diner is, but
you was
by a little diner, and you're pulling that lot. You pull in that lot with a lot of truckers, and you started telling them about Jesus.
Glory.
And you told them that they had to change their life. You talked to them about hell, and you talked to them about heaven. God says, I heard you, son. I heard you. Speaking with faith and power. And God says, I'm raising you up to be a mighty battle axe in this season. I'm going to flow through you like lightning, the Lord says. And you're going to begin to strike people. You're going to begin to strike truckers that they're going to put down their methamphetamines and say they don't want to get high anymore. They don't want to drive under the influence anymore. They've been getting away. They've been escaping. But God says, I send you as a mighty battle axe out there on the highway to share to them men and women who I am, what I've done for you. He said, this is what I'm going to deliver them. Because every time you share your testimony with them, they're going to become victim. Because they're going to begin to see the light that's inside of you, saith the Lord. And as your light begins to shine on them, their path is going to light up. And they're going to want to change and come over, saith the Lord. Just continue doing your work, man of God. Continue to share the word. Continue doing the work for the kingdom. You've got a crown already laid up for you. Satan didn't want you to have that crown. Satan didn't want you to have that crown, but God make it feasible. He make it feasible by sending his son to wash you in his blood. All that you have done, all that we have done, Christ has washed away with his blood. And it's going down that drain of sin.
Yeah.
Can't come back up anyway. Because you know what goes downhill don't come back uphill. You know, don't come back uphill. It's going down the hill. Down the drain of sin. It can't come back up. It can't come back uphill. But God says, keep on doing what you're doing because he's proud. Anyway, the line is open. The line is open.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Oh, praise the Lord, Mother. Praise the Lord, Mother.
God bless you all. Yes. I just walk in. So I'll do my reading. It's a peace. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. Isaiah 57 and 19. Mm-hmm. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as a member of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Colossians 3 and 15. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promised peace to his people, his saints. Psalms 85 and 8. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and 7. The fruit of the righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and the confidential forever. Isaiah 32 and 17. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Luke 7 and 50. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. Psalms 37 and 37. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. And may God and his blessing to his word. Peace I leave
with you. Amen. Thank you so much, Mother. That's right on time to what we were sharing. Glory to God. We thank God for you. And we pray God's goodness towards you and all that you do unto your children and to your grandchildren. God is a great God.
Amen.
Thank God that you are doing so much out there. You're always running. And I pray for you even when you don't hear me praying for you. We pray for you, not just me. As we know, you'll be so you're caught up with the senior citizens. You know, we are senior citizens. So you, I was telling my baby just now, we was in the DMV, and I was in. They should treat us better. No, we are senior citizens. I said, honey, we don't even look like senior citizens.
I said,
girl, we don't even look like senior citizens. You think they're thinking that we senior citizens? They're thinking that we are. We are faking it out, we look like young people. We look like young people. We don't look like we are in our 70s. And I think that's what we see. This is just treat us better. But you be going. I tell you, Mother, I'll be so proud of you. I say every time I look around, Mother's on the boat. He's on the bus.
He's going somewhere with the seniors, having a good time,
enjoying life.
Yes.
And then
I just
you cook so much for the
center. We play bingo.
I tell you.
Well,
yes.
I be going. I get out and go.
Yeah. And then you cook so much for the homeless and stuff.
Yes.
God is so proud of you, Mother.
Your blessings
overtake
you. Good Friday. Yep.
Yeah.
They asked him to bake. I bake my Good Friday buns. I don't bake my cross buns. The other day I baked. Yesterday I tried to bake, and I'm gonna sell them with the fish. I'm gonna sell my Good Friday buns with fish, and I can give to my church because everybody can donate, you know, to the church. Friday night we have service, and I'll donate some buns and some fish. I got some fish. One of my on Monday, my thing give me some catfish. Well, I don't ever eat that, so I don't season them up, and I'm gonna cook that for my church.
Yes, Lord.
I got me some catfish and stuff from the Bahamas. I'll share that with my pastor. My pastor from Trinidad, Fossilia. And that's what I'll do. Get my bun, my hot cross bun, and fish. And cheese. I don't got my cheese. For Friday, gospel life, me and all my children. And Sunday, I cook a big dinner for all of us. I keep going. Sometimes I can't do. I just sit down. I do and I sit. I do and I sit because I get tired easily. But anyway, give God the glory.
Yes, give him the glory all the time.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Thank God for you. And I thank God for his protection upon your life and upon your children and your grandchildren. You know, thank God for you. You know, you do a great work. And, you know, that's why the Lord is blessing you, you know.
Yes.
You know, he's blessing you because you do a good work for the kingdom. When you're not looking for a blessing, you know, that's, the Lord is so good. When you're not looking for a blessing, he gives you a blessing.
Yes.
He gives you a blessing. He gives you a blessing. It's like you weren't looking for to find that thing in the mail.
One of the teachers from my son's school, my adopted son, she came yesterday. I say, Lord, if you see all the food the people bring me, I have so much food here. I say, Lord, my children, I get rid of all them things and they don't pile back up again. I look, I say, Lord, I see a lady, she says she going to the Bahamas, and I tell her, Miss, you want some of this food to take over there? I said, because there's too much of food. I ain't got no place to put it. I got them the bags sitting around with the food because people continue to bring me food. I'm keep getting blessing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say don't give it to me, because then I can be blessing other people with it.
That's right. That's right.
One place on Monday, I go to this church, Wayne Parks Church up in Fort Lauderdale, because they just give me a lot. The lady there, she been knowing me for years, because I used to go up there sometimes service. And she just give me a lot. And, you know, I tell them places, I say, well, you know, I feed and I cook and I feed a hot meal to the homeless every week. I said, when them people see me coming, they say, guys, come, hot meal, hot meal. I feel good doing it. I get clothes, then the lady from my church, she bring me two big black garbage bags full of clothes. I got it here. I take out some, because they say, you got any pants 38? So I went through one, and I remember now I got another one there and go see if anything gets for ladies and take it to them. Then I'm going to call the VA to come pick up the rest, because I tell you, the children came here and clean up. What I sent to the Bahamas, what they find, but here they clean up the churn, then get a U-Haul truck, and they take most all my stuff from my house. But I had to try and ship out before the door come from Carolina. So I ship out a lot of boxes of stuff. I have a 10 boxes, 4 with clothes and 2 with grocery to one family. Then 4, the other one to another family, Turks and Caicos and the Bahamas. A blessing. And they're still coming. What a blessing.
That is God. That
yes.
is God, because you don't mind looking for the people that's in need, you know?
Right.
And that's
yes.
what God is
yes.
proud of, you know, because some right. people say, I don't have time to do that. I can't do this. But you make time.
I make the time.
You drive your car out there and feed the people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God is he is good God.
Long. Yep. Yes.
That's right.
I do it. Yeah,
he's proud. See, he's just looking
yeah.
for somebody that's willing. Somebody that
yeah.
is willing and ready to go.
Right,
you know,
and be nice to the people. You know, I don't see
yeah,
no
and be nice, yeah.
because they're homeless. I help them, and they love me.
Yeah.
Because everybody, they say, you be going through this alley? Why you be going through this alley at night with these people? I say, I'm protected by God. And people, they don't use
that's
to me.
Right.
They be looking for me. But a hot meal, they said, get when they see hot meal, they want a hot meal. And they say, oh, I can't get when I get peace and rice and meatloaf. Oh, I got to get. You just cook good. That makes you feel good.
They're excited.
Mm-hmm. On Sunday, I can try
yeah,
to prepare.
It,
I got some chicken,
her.
Cook them some peas and rice, and give them some macaroni
Lord,
and cheese or some potato salad. You know, yeah, they like things
Lord,
like that.
Oh, Lord. They said, Mama coming. Mama
yep.
coming.
Yep.
And them boys, and I tell you, they wouldn't let nobody
dinner.
Touch you.
Yeah. I cook
I tell
my
you, Mother, they wouldn't let nobody hurt you.
Yep. I take
they
it
would
them.
Not let anybody hurt you. I'm telling you
right.
something, you protected.
Uh-huh.
They would not let anybody hurt you. You
that's
know, they
true.
Know God already got them in there. They're angels sitting in there. Say, look, she's coming.
Right.
Ain't nobody
yep.
going to hurt you. They gonna, that's Mama. Mama going to come. She's going to feed us. She's going to make sure we got a hot meal.
Meal,
yes.
Yeah.
She's going to give
say
us a drink.
Say, come
oh,
on,
no,
hot
they
meal.
Love yes, yes.
yeah. Yep.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
My children had
yeah,
a crab
give,
boil
and give.
Everybody had all this crab boil
yep.
and what's not. Nobody can hardly eat it. I heat up them stuff and I went with a big, them big thing pan. I say, here, y'all take this because I normally things like that I take it to the inside, the Broward Center
mm-hmm.
inside. I give it to them. The guy say, Miss, say, leave it here for us. Say, we all will eat it. All the crab with the boiled egg, the crab seafood boil. I give it. I say, yeah, y'all can have it. Share it up. Say, oh, boy, I think I in Nassau because one of them, they must be from the Bahamas. They say, oh, we used to this in Nassau, this seafood boy. I should have kept it till Friday. But anyway, I give it to them because I had it there in the freezer. I said, let me give it to them because ain't nobody going to be eating it no more. But I'm happy. I'm happy to give. That's my blessing.
Amen. And that's how it should be,
amen.
Mother.
Amen. How are you doing?
Doing great. And I hear you. I hear the joy of the Lord in your voice. And, you know, he will keep you strengthened. He will keep you strengthened to do all that he has chosen you to do. in this time, and you're going to live so much longer, because God has so much more for you to do. Glory
Amen.
To God. I hear the joy in your voice because the joy of the Lord, you know, the Bible says to be a cheerful giver. If we're not
a cheerful
giver, we're doing it out of duty or just doing
right.
it just because you know, I want to say that I got it done. I want to say that I've done this or done that. But when you do it out of the heart of God, a heart for God, there's that joy. There's that great feeling that you get. Oh, it's such
yes.
a wonderful when you can give.
Feeling,
it just makes you feel so good inside. And, you know,
yes,
God gives enough to give, and that's the beauty of it all, too, is that it is the Lord that's given us an abundance. He's pouring out that abundance on your life. Because the more you give, the more you shall receive. Amen.
Yes.
Good seed and good book always come back to you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for you, Mother. We thank God for that word. And the thing that stick in with me is the peace. My favorite scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verses 7. And the peace that we get when we pray and give all of our supplications to God. Hallelujah. Making our request known to him. And he says he'll give us the peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard our hearts and our minds. And that's what God is doing with you. He's guarding your heart. He's guarding your mind. He's guarding all of us, Apostle Calendar. Thank you so much, Apostle, for such a powerful, fiery word. You preached it with such tenacity and the authority and the power that exudes from you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was such a blessing. It was so good. And the thing that I focused on in the message was the covenant and how God has made a covenant with his people and how faithful he is. So you talked about the covenant. You talked about making vows. God has promised us to bless us. Amen. And we're going to get the blessing. As long as we bless the Lord back, we got to bless it. It's an exchange. It's a process. When we give, it shall be given. When we give of ourselves, it shall be given back to us. When we give of our substance, it shall be given back to us. You'll never want. You'll never have a want. The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Minister Jones, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. There's more in store for the people of God when we are faithful to God. And I know how you feel, Minister Jones, because I tell you, that word was good to my soul. That word was so good. And so we thank God that we are reminded that we must listen to God. We must listen to the word. The word is fertile. The word is just a fertile word. You know, the more we hear the word, the more we grow. It's like when you plant flowers or you plant seed in the ground, you got to fertilize that seed for that seed to grow. Well, what cup? This? Oh, I'm sorry, y'all, for that interruption. Here, glory to God. Amen. But, yeah, it's like, you know, when the word is fertile, and when it's in us, we're going to grow. We're going to constantly grow in the Lord because it's like fertile ground. Glory be to God. So when that word is spoken, and you receive that word like he spoke to Minister Jones today and he received it and it excited him, it's going to come forth in the name of Jesus Christ. He received it. And so what we have to do is speak the word like you were saying. We got to speak that word. Hallelujah. When we speak it, it shall be so. As long as it's in line with the word of God. And we can do that. We can say we should always be saying we're healthy, we're wealthy, we're wise, we're prospering in all things, in health, even as our soul is prospering. Why? Because God said so. God said so. And so that word was just so good for the soul. The word is, if we don't have that fertile word in us, our soul will shrivel up and it will die. We shrivel up and die. That means we're famished in our spirit. And we've got to have the word, otherwise we're famished in the spirit. And that's the worst way to be, because when people don't want to hear God, we will shrivel up and die. We're going to die. Our soul cannot live without the word of God. Amen? And so we just shrivel up, my God, like a worm in the sun with nowhere to go. Hallelujah. You just shrivel up like a worm or like a snail when he comes out of his little cocoon or whatever. And he comes out his shell and he just will shrivel up, my God, in the sun. And that's what happens with the soul. It's going to shrivel up without the word of God. They don't want to hear the word, Apostle. People want to hear lies. They want to hear the deception. And they want to hear these preachers are not preaching sound doctrine because they want to hear what they want to hear. They want to be entertained. We don't want the truth. We want to be entertained. You know, the choir got to be on fire. The choir, the music is bumping in the church, and people are dancing and jumping up and down to the music, not jumping up and down to the sound and the beat of the Holy Spirit. They're not doing that. They're jumping up and down to the music, jumping up and down to a word. When the pastor's up there jumping up and down, they want a jumping word. But you know what? We got to listen for the word of God. If that preacher is not preaching the word and that preacher is not preaching under the anointing, that's too bad. But thank God we have preachers like you. Thank God we have prophets and preachers like you, Mr. Jones, Minister Jones. We have the anointing of God because we love him, because we know him, because we want to serve him with all of our hearts, our mind, and our soul. We want to serve the Lord. And because of that, there's the anointing. There's the fire. And we have preachers and ministers that's preaching with the fire and the authority and the power of God. You know, we do have preachers, but many people don't appreciate these preachers. We want the ones that's jumping up and down, a jumping word. We want the music, the choir. We want the stompers on the altar. We want all this stuff, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the flesh. Most of it is the flesh. It has nothing to do with the Lord, nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the anointing, the power of God. And so we thank God for the preachers. We thank God for the teachers and the preachers who love, love, love the Lord. And we're going to keep teaching the truth regardless to how much people don't like it. You know, they want to be told stories. They want to be entertained, and that's not good. Without the word, you know, when God stops speaking, that's a terrible thing. When you can't hear God anymore, when you can't hear, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. A lot of people at one time was anointed and could hear the Lord, but then they got into all the stuff they got into, like Minister Jones was talking about, wanting to be looked up to because I got it going on now. You want to be looked up to, and the people are looking up to them like they're gods, and they have forgotten their first love. They have forgotten Jesus Christ, forgotten their first love. So what's going to happen? They're not going to be hearing from God. They're going to be hearing from the flesh and the devil. And what's going to happen? The soul's just going to shrivel up. We're just going to shrivel up and die. Bottom line, I know that's a harsh way to say it, but that's just what I'm feeling right now. Without us hearing the word, we've got to hear God. We've got to hear God. Without hearing God and without the word, Apostle, we are done, finished. There's nothing of the Holy Spirit without our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have him. When we're not serving him, not loving him, we don't have the Spirit of God. We got the spirit of the devil. And you talked about the Kundalini spirits and all of this kind of stuff. They got their gods and they're running after their gods. But if we don't run after Jesus Christ, oh, my God, they'll stop hearing from the Lord. And talk about famine in the soul. That's spiritual famine. And that's what I heard in the word today. Again, spiritual famine. But there's going to come a time, the word says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that's what you were talking about today. They don't want to hear sound doctrine, but they go after their own lust. And they just have those itching ears, you know. They want to hear something good. They want to hear they're going to get the house, the car, the money, all that stuff.
Amen.
How about getting some revelation knowledge from God? How about listening for Jesus, glory be to God, and serving the Lord? But no, they want the stuff. They want the cars. They see the pastor with all of this stuff, and they want it too. So the pastor going to tell them, well, all you got to do is sow your seed, and you're going to get this, and you're going to get that. How about sowing your life into the kingdom? How about sowing your life, giving your whole life to God? How about that? Well, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear what God's going to give them. They want to hear these prophecies. What am I going to get? What's in it for me? Well, it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. God says we got to give our life and be a servant. They want to be served. We're supposed to be servants. Amen. So, Apostle, I thank God for that word. I especially like you talking about the covenant and the vows and how to give, how we got to give, and it shall be given. And I was hearing that. Glory be to God. Without sound doctrine, it's not going to happen. God is not blessing. You know, the devil knows how to give folks stuff to keep them in bondage. The devil knows how to give stuff. The devil knows how to do miracles. He can even do signs and different wonders and different things and make people believe that it's God. But when you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to know no better. When you're not following in the ways of Jesus, you're not going to know no better. So they fall for the deceit. They fall for the lies. That's the bait. The lies is the bait, and they fall for that. Well, when you fall for it, you fall prey to destruction. You become like a sitting duck. That's how you be, just a sitting duck. My God, like a sitting duck. And guess what? One day, it's all going to come down on them. One day, it's all coming down. And right now, it's in the earth. Right now, it's in the earth. So let's just stay prepared, Minister Jones. We love you. We love that tenacity in you, that love of God in you. We love you, Mother.
I love you, too.
Praise God. I know you, too, because you got the love of God in you and your mom. So we love y'all. And we love you, Mother. We love you, Deacon. We love all of y'all. We thank God for our Blog Talk family. We thank God for the spirit of fellowship. Amen. And we know we get the truth here. We know we get the love here. We know we get the help on this line. One thing about it, we're all family, and we're going to help each other. Glory be to God. We are here for each other. Amen. And Deacon Frazier always says we are all blessed. And he says that, and I love it when he says it, because it's the truth. God is blessing us. He's pouring out on us. And his constant, Apostle, will never be without. Never. Hallelujah. Because God, and you say God is going to, we're never going to be without, even during the famine that's going to be out there, because they don't know what's coming. They don't even have a clue what's coming to America. It's coming to America like in other countries. My God. And like Minister Jones said, no, it wasn't Minister Jones. It was the guy, maybe Minister Jones said it too, but there was a guy I was talking to in a doctor's office, and he said, I see shelves are empty. He said, and prices are going higher and higher. Why? Because the shelves are empty. There's famine. There's already famine in the land. And people are famished and don't know they're famished in the spirit. But see, when you got God and you hungry and thirsty for the word, you're going to stay full. You're going to stay full. Your house going to stay full. Your family going to be taken care of. Everything concerning us is taken care of by the Lord God Almighty himself, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. We're healed. We're healed. I don't care what the doctor say you got. My God, I always say, okay, Doc, what you got? Because what I got in me is the word of God, and God is going to keep me. God is going to keep you, Minister Jones. He's going to keep all of us, Deacon Frazier, Apostle Calendar. He's our keeper, and he is pouring out his grace, pouring out his favor, pouring out his provision, pouring out on his people. Hallelujah. With all the wickedness around
Hallelujah.
Us, God is pouring out, and that's what I hear. He's pouring out. It's an outpouring on the people of God. So stay encouraged. Hallelujah. What God promised, he will do, because he is a covenant God. He's a promise keeper. Amen? And we
Amen.
Must keep the word. We must keep the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the word. I love, love, love the word. Amen. Glory be to God. So much. Thank y'all. Thank all of you all. I'm so glad to be a part of this happy family we have, this family that have the peace of God, this family that has the peace of God. We got it going on with Jesus Christ. Amen. Yahweh himself is with us, going ahead of us. He's behind us. He's on every side of us. He's everywhere. And you told Minister Jones they got them angels, the ministering spirits of God, The army of the angels are all around us. Everywhere we go, we got help. Amen. Everywhere we go, we got protection. Glory be to God. We got better protection than any weapon, than any gun, than anything. We got the protection of the Holy Ghost. He's more powerful than anything, any weapon in this world, because no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Glory be to God. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's natural, whatever it is, it'll never prosper against us because we got the Most High God fighting our battles. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, the battle is not yours, it's mine. He said, I'll be your burden bearer. So all we got to do is depend on our burden bearer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love this word today. It got me excited. Amen. I'm excited. Thank you. And it is a running word. It does make you want to run. And hearing the apostles talk about how God delivers you and how he takes it. Oh, my God. That was like me trying to drink a beer. I couldn't even drink it. Oh, I kept saying, give me another one. Something wrong with this beer. Something is wrong with that. And the man said, man, there's nothing wrong with that. I said, well, give me a Heineken. Yeah, a low and brow. Give me another one. God wouldn't let me drink it. It was bitter as gall. Oh, my God. See, when God deliver you from something, I used to like to drink a beer, especially the cold tap, you know. I used to like it with a little salt around the glass. I used to like that. I never was a beer drinker, but every now and then I wanted to have a little beer. But the Lord delivered me from that. And you know I could not.
Yes.
This beer. We were on vacation. I said, I told my daughter, I just want a cold draft beer. While I'm on vacation, I want to go get a beer. Well, the Lord said, no, you're not having no beer because you're not even going to like it when you taste it again. I hadn't tasted beer in years and years and years. I wanted to have a beer. That was the devil, apostle. And you know, I laughed at it today. Every time that man gave me another beer, another kind, he gave me the draft first. I said, ooh, something wrong with this. I said, something wrong with your tap. What's the matter with the machine? He said, nothing, ma'am. Nobody else complained about it. Then I asked for this beer and that beer. All that man's beer went to waste. Thank God he didn't charge me for it. God wouldn't let me drink.
God. Amen. Hey,
I said, God, you got drunk. How you going to do? He wouldn't let a puzzle get high. He wouldn't let me drink a beer. All I wanted was one beer.
You know, I wasn't drinking
enough.
God stopped me from drinking, and I, you know,
it's
like,
you know.
Thank God for deliverance.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
So that's how he delivered me. Got me like that years ago before I got saved. I used to get high on cocaine, and he used to come through my house. I used to try to get high as I can. I couldn't. His voice would come right through the high. I got high so one day so bad, I went to a deep sleep. He came asleep. I almost had a heart attack. And I jumped out of my seat. I said, Lord, I'm done. I can't do it no more. So I just thank God for salvation and deliverance, man. Man, I love that testimony. God saved me. And delivered me cocaine, alcohol. I was a whorish man. And I treated women like I would change them like I would change the tennis shoes. And I didn't have respect. And God delivered me and saved me and made me the man I am today. I just thank God, man. I had to tell my testimony, God is good. But people don't believe that God can save you and deliver you. And like he was saying earlier, I use that testimony when I'm at the truck stop because you have people, oh, man, God can't. I said, man, if you can believe God can give you a house or a car and have faith for that, you can have faith that God can save you and deliver you from smoking and getting high. He did it for me. And so I know he can do it for you. And I just thank God for that, your testimony. I mean, you know, jumping there, I just had to get that out. But it just make you excited to hear how good God is to us. Knowing that he is healing, he can heal anybody. If you want to be healed, he can heal anybody. If you want to be free, he can free anybody. You just got to, you know, just believe him and have faith that he can do it. I know he can do it. I just thank God for it. I just had to just get that out. Just thank God for everything. I mean, she had got me excited just listening to her. Everything she was saying, you know, and I want to verify you were talking about the underground earlier. I know about that. I've been to a couple of them myself underground. They do have underground cities, and they do have underground. A lot of truck drivers know about them. and a lot of them for miles and miles underground in certain cities that they've been storing up for over 50 years, a little bit longer than that. And so they've been doing it for quite some time, doing the underground cities that a lot of people don't know about, you know, but only, you know, truck drivers and you're on the road, certain companies store their stuff down underground in certain cities. You got Kansas City, Oklahoma. They go, I mean, they done been doing it so long, they probably got all the way overseas now, underground. So underground oceans, stuff like that, that they don't let the public know about. I mean, yeah, whistleblowers, they try to cover it up, but, you know, it still end up coming out. But, yeah, they have a lot of underground cities. I done been to a couple of myself. But, you know, you got to go in there, deliver it. They'll tell you to stay in the truck, and you back up, you go in there for miles under the tunnel in the underground, and they back you up, put your paperwork in the back of the truck. They unload it, and then they sign it, then you just take off. So, you were right, Apostle. They do have underground places. They've been storing up over 50-something years, a little bit longer than that. And they've been building and fracking, and there's a lot of stuff going on that they keep the public, you know, out of it, unless you, you know, got a certain amount of money or you part of the elite and the military, and they moving a lot of their stuff. You see it out on the road. A lot of people don't know they moving their military stuff on the road. The truck drivers see it. We see everything because you got the truck industry moving 24 hours a day, 365 days. While people at home, they moving stuff. They move stuff in the sky, you know, and in the military, they moving their equipment. We see it on the road. You know, I tell prophets, but I said, man, they out here moving stuff, and people don't know what's going on. You know, they keep us, focused on sports and who gonna get the next house while they doing stuff, and only certain people know about it. And then, you know, they try to keep us, you know, hushed about it. Even sometimes when you get certain loads, they tell you not to. You know, letting them one know about what you're moving, or you have to, you know, just a lot of stuff going on that, you know, they move stuff fast. They got trucks that move on the road do 80 miles per hour because they have to move to a certain state fast, and the state trooper won't stop because they know it's a lot of cold, and then there's a lot of stuff in the road that people don't know about. That's signs that only truck drivers and state troopers know about, and you learn that when you're a truck driver. So, you know, it's just a lot of stuff that they don't let the public know about, you know, but God let a lot of stuff come out. And I just thank God that he brought that out today about that. And it's happening for real. People don't know about that, you know, underground human trafficking, sex trafficking going underground. They even, Hugh Hefner, that had the Playboy mansion, he had his hands in, he had an underground up under his mansion where they was doing sex trafficking. So it's a lot of stuff coming out that people don't know about. You just have to pray. And that's how to keep the children, just keep us. And I just thank God for keeping us, like he kept the children of Israel in the wilderness when the family came through. They didn't have to worry about food. They were still eating. They were still getting fat. And then, he was saying earlier, the Apostle was saying earlier, when they left, Pharaoh let them go. God hardened his heart. He told Pharaoh, if you go into the beginning of the story, when Moses went to him and God anointed him, do the test, he told us that I'm going to harden his heart before you get there. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart so he can show the children of Israel his power and his miracles so they'll know that he brought them out and it wasn't Moses. And so, that's what he did. And sometimes God, he's still in control. Even though everything is going on, God's still in control. Satan don't have no power. All the power he has is what God gives him. He's scared of God.
That's right.
He trembles at God because he knows at his voice and at his presence, he can kill him just like that. And so, you know, you got to just thank God for the word was good, man. I mean, then she was saying, what he was saying earlier about the church. And some people don't even know gift comes without repentance. You know, just because you got a gift don't mean it's God, you know. You just in a time now where some people are calling everything the anointing. You don't know, oh, that's the anointing. Everything is not the anointing.
Everything,
you know.
Right.
You know, they said, oh, she's the anointed. That's a gift. God gave everything he created, even down to the animal and the insects a gift. He gave the spider the gift to make a whale. He gave ants a gift to go on the ground and store up all winter. He gave a dog the gift to bark. He gave an animal a gift to say meow. He gave an eagle gift to soar. So everything that God gave, he created, and he said it was good. So just because he gave it a gift don't mean that he anointed it. The Bible says men are called a few chosen. So it takes God to anoint you, just like he did when he anointed David. Out of all his brothers, he anointed David. It takes God to anoint you and pour his ointment on you. He chose Moses. Yeah. He anointed Moses for his chest. So it takes the anointing. It's from God, and he has to be chosen by God. That's why the Bible says, men are called and few are chosen. When God chose you, he anoints you for your calling. So that's why I tell people all the time, there's nothing wrong with educating yourself, because you got a lot of schools now, theologian schools that people go to, and they think, you know, once they get their plaque, that's it. Nah, you got to go to God first, to the altar first, and that's who anoints you, and that's who hires you first. You got people that don't, it's like they don't went on the job and God ain't hiding. They got on uniform and when payday comes, they're not going to get paid because he ain't hiding first. And so you got people that got titles and God didn't hire. They hired themselves. And so, you know, you got to make sure when God calls you that he hired you first. Because when he hired you, he anoint what he hired. Then he'll do you like he did his son. When he got ready to baptize his son, he said, this is my son that I'm well pleased. He'll verify. He'll put his signature on and say, yeah, they with me. Yeah, that's with me. The Holy Spirit in you will let you know, okay, they with me. Yeah, they with, yeah, he with me. And God, because everything that God anoint, even the spiritual realm can see, God put a mark on what's his. The Bible says he knows those that are his. So, you know, you can't just claim God and say that you're a child of God. And then I couldn't hear because the word is so good, it's hard not to say nothing. I was trying to be quiet, but she got me excited, man. But even with the dress code, you see gospel artists now, they're dressing like harlots now. The women wearing tight clothes, wearing stilettos, where they all that back there can stand up, and it's no different. Well, God told us to be different. We're supposed to be set aside a peculiar people, a holy people, and people have got away from that.
Right.
They got away from that. They think we got to be. God never told us. You don't see the world trying to make your change for them. We changed it for them. They ain't changing it for us. And you see gospel come out, well, I'm trying to win the world. And then they try to use the scripture that Paul said, oh, I became all things. That ain't why Paul said that. To win others. You got people misquoting the word and not understanding the word of God by using what Paul said, that I became all things to win. He didn't tell you to go. So you telling me I got to become a crackhead to win a crackhead? No. Mm-hmm. I got to be the winner stripper. I got to go in and get on a strip pole. And then I'm going in the strip. So I'm going to go and sit out as a child of God in the strip, in the strip joint. And then I'm in there. I'm gonna tell them I'm here to win scriptures. Why they scriptures? It don't make sense. It don't make sense. Me saying I want to win a drug dealer, so I'm gonna go out and start selling drugs to everybody to win a drug dealer.
Don't make no sense at all.
It don't make sense.
That's right.
And so that's what you see. These world preachers and these gospel artists making excuses for the flesh, and then they get on there and they're dashing it. Get on there. And I say, how in the world, I even told the pastor one day, and he got mad, and I didn't care, because anytime that you say you're a man of God and you start going away from that word, me as a man of God and you as a woman of God or whoever we are as God, you have a right to question them when they're going outside that word. And I asked the man of God, I said, if we're part of the body, why are you preaching one thing and I'm saying one thing? I said, if we can't go by what God's word says, and you do it the way you want to do it, then we might as well throw the Bible out the window and create our own Bible like the cult do. He said, oh, no, man, I can't do that. So how you going to say one thing, and then I'm saying one thing? We're supposed to be one body, one spirit. And so now you got two churches coming up now. You got a harlot church, and you got God church. Everybody ain't the church. I tell people, mm-hmm. everybody that's out there is not for God. They're not for God. When you're for God, if you got a real man and a woman of God, they're going to stand on God's word. They're going to tell you the truth. It might hurt, but God's word is like a two-inch sword. It don't hurt you when he's trying to cut sin off you. It's like going against surgery.
Right.
When they put this sermon, when they cut on you, they tell you before you get it, they make you sign it and let you know, amen, they're going to cut on you. It's going to hurt, but they're going to give you, they give you some medicine for the pain. That's what the word of God is. When he get ready to cut on you, the word of God, all not only cut on you, but he give you his word for the pain. After he cuts you, he give you something to heal what he gonna cut on. And so people don't understand that about God. They take the Holy Spirit to help you with God. I had to get it. I'm sorry, y'all. I can't help it.
I love y'all so much. I'm telling y'all, I love you because you love the word. I love y'all. I'm telling y'all, I love y'all. Y'all are some special to God. Y'all are some special to God. I'm telling y'all, y'all, I love y'all, man. I'm telling you, God bless you. Thank you so much, Mr. The word of God will stir up inside you when you feast on the word of God. You know I'm coming back. I'm driving back from the DMV. And all my flesh was saying to me, well, you know, you're 30 minutes late. You ain't playing no worship music. How do you just go ahead and cancel the day? Just cancel the day. Things didn't go right for you today at the DMV. Why don't you just cancel the day? And
devil.
I said, devil, you're a liar. Because I understand what the devil was doing. I said, no, you're a liar.
Hey, yes, Lord.
I said, if I get 30 minutes recording them, I accomplished what God did once done.
That's right.
You know, I said, I'm going to get in the house. I'm going to turn on that computer. And I said, I know I'm supposed to play worship music till 12:30. And come on, till 12 o'clock. I said, and it's after 12 now, minutes after 12. I said, well, God played worship music from 11:30 to 12. Come on, bring the word at 12. I said, but if I get home and it's 12:15 or 12:20, I'm still going to bring it on. And, you know, when I started ministering in the car, and let me tell you, God is so, I dropped the phone because I took the license plate off the truck. I was going to get new license plate. And I'll tell you what went on. I'll tell you all what went on because you're my family. When I bought this truck 7 years ago, I had another Escalade. And some, the scratch up, the people came in and scratched it up. They was jealous. So I traded in and got the platinum. And my credit wasn't good enough out in the natural. And so I said, well, look, I said, I'll buy this truck. My name was not even on the lease, on the purchase. So it was on, I bought it in my wife's name. So I just finished paying off the truck. And I don't owe nobody a dime for it. God paid it all. God paid it all off, you know. He made a way for me to be able to pay it off. So I said, well,
man,
I want
to.
Lord, I want that truck in my name because it's in my wife's name. In the car, we got it in her name and my name. I said, well, I want to have something in my name. You know, but I can say, this is what God gave to me. This is God's truck. So that's what we're doing. We're switching the name from her name to my name. You know, it's still our truck, but I want it in my name.
Yeah.
Because I bought the other car for her in her name. So that's what we're doing. And I would, when I lost my phone taken off, it popped off my belt and I didn't feel it. So I didn't have to give her some scriptures while I was there, how she's supposed to watch me, because I can't see everything at the same time. You know, you go outside, I might leave a screwdriver, I might leave a pliers or something. Check behind me, too. I'm not perfect. I check behind you, you need to check behind me. So I had to give her some instructions, you know. She said, I'm supposed to watch you. You're a grown man. I said, no, you are mine. Help me. He said, I never heard about that. I said, well, let me take you to Genesis. I said, baby, let me just take you to the book of Genesis. This is what God says to Adam. You know, God said it's good for a man to be alone. And God made him a helpmeet. He said, helpmeet means that we look out for each other. That don't mean that she just going to do all the work. You're going to do all the work. I look out for you. You look out for me. You know, we cover each other. That's what it's all about. It's not I'm the boss, you the servant, or you the labor, or you the boss. I'm the servant. I said, no, we are both carrying this thing together. And I dropped the phone. But, you know, I said, well, I can't bring it because the system doesn't know her phone. So I can't use her phone to bring her on Blog Talk, you know. If I had her as a co-partner on the ministry or a pastor, I was going to get apostle, and then I'd have to finally get that done. Call Blog Talk Radio and put her telephone number in and instruct her on the phone how she can pull it on. If I'm out in the country and I want her to do it here, she can do it here. I can do it from any country I go to, but she can do it here. I don't even have to think. I can come on if I feel like. Well, them people, that phone, a nice phone. It's over 2 years old, but the phone is a nice phone. It's a Galaxy 10 Plus. And they want me to trade in my phone number to get a Galaxy 20. Ain't nothing wrong with my phone. Why am I going to put my $769 in debt for? You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with my phone. Where somebody pick up the phone from outside. And you know where that DMV is? This in Brockton. Brockton's the worst place around here. I mean, you got the crooks, you got the gangbangers, you got dope pushing the prostitutes, the homosexuals, everybody in there. But you know what it is? Whoever picked up that phone went into DMV and gave it to the people at the desk. They gave it to the people at the desk. And when I used my wife's phone and called the phone, the clerk answered the phone. She said, you just left DMV? I said, yeah, yes, ma'am. She said, well, your phone is here. Somebody brought your phone in from outside. That's God. The last time when I was in Louisiana, I left my phone in the car with this African-American girl, lady. I didn't get the phone back. Didn't get the phone back. We had to get a new phone. But see, this phone is working for the kingdom. And nobody could hold on to it. They had to turn it in. It's a nice phone, too. You know, it got all the features that you want on the phone. And I got extended this and extended that and all the things that you can do. And they take the phone in the DMV and say, well, we just found that phone outside there. And the lady said, well, your phone be here at the desk when you come in. We went back there. They said they would finish the paperwork for us. They didn't do it. But we got another schedule for another place on next Wednesday. But my phone was there and we were able to come on. Because, see, this is God's work. This is God's work. It may seem minute to some people, but this is bigger than we can even comprehend. Louisiana had said, we would never know how much people we're reaching. I mean, I know from here that we are in the, I mean, I must be over 600,000 people, maybe more than that by now, you know. But I know we was over 500,000 people. But now, listen, I tell them, we will never know how much in the whole scheme of things, how much people have gotten saved, how many people have given their life to Blog Talk Radio till we see Jesus. We never know. Because this is a satellite system. It's a satellite system that's taking the message all over the world. We never know.
Yeah.
We never know.
Yeah.
This word is going in some cities that I may never put my feet in. You may never put your feet in some of the places that this word is going. It's a satellite system. So it's going all over the world. Everywhere that satellite hidden and there's a radio, somebody will hear. Somebody will hear. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we are so pleased. That's why we don't play with the word. We don't play with the word. People like to water down the word to make it sound, well, let me just tell you this. I feel this. I don't feel nothing. What's God saying? What is God saying?
Exactly.
I ain't feeling nothing. What did God say?
It's
coming
right
out the spirit. It got to come out the spirit.
That's right.
If you,
right,
if you live in, if you live in the word, Apostle, you know this. If you live in the word, guess what? You go hear in the spirit. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't get up there and play no spirit, play no spirit. It got to come out of truth. Spirit and truth goes together. You can't have one without
that's
the
right
other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They go together.
Right.
I feel this. I just feel like that. No, no. Shut that feeling up. Take it somewhere else. I just feel something. But you feel stupid stuff. Take that stuff out the door. I feel something. I feel, you don't feel nothing. Shut your mouth. Sit down. What's the word of God saying? What is the word of God saying? What is the word of God saying? That's why I want to know. What is the word of, I don't want to know what you're feeling. What's the word of God saying? What is the word of God saying?
What's
the word of God saying?
What is Jesus saying?
Tell me what the word of God is saying. That's what I want to hear.
That's right.
That's what's going to bring change in my life. That's what's going to cause me to walk up right before. What is God saying about me? What is God saying? He's speaking through the word.
Mm-hmm. Man, amen. Well, Apostle, I have to listen to this word again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
It was a jumping word, but it was anointed. Amen.
Amen.
It's an anointed.
What
the
word to make you jump?
That bring people to God. Amen. And like Minister Jones was saying, without the anointing, Your gifts can still work, but it's not anointed, you know, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
Gifts come without repentance, but if it's not anointed, it's not going to destroy no yoke. It's not going to bring people to deliverance. It doesn't have the power
right
of God. It doesn't have
right
the power of God. So we just thank God for our gifts, but the anointing got to be on the gift. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
We're all born with gifts. All of us are born with a gift. But many of us are misusing those gifts, and the gifts are not being used for the glory of God.
That's
not
right
being used for the glory of God, it's like it's useless. It's pretty much like it's useless.
Yes.
Until God put his anointing on, you can forget about it. It ain't God. It's only the flesh.
You're
not. You're not. Your gifts through the flesh and not through the anointing. So I thank God, Minister Jones, for you saying that. That is so true. That is so true. I tell people all the time, oh, your gift, well, I don't know how I could prophesy and I'm still high. Because your gift is there. Your gift to prophesy is there.
Yeah.
It's there. You still got
right
the gift. But that don't mean that it's coming from God. But you can still prophesy. You can still prophesy. Well, I still see visions. Okay. Okay, you still see visions, but we're not serving the Lord. Your gift is still working. But it's not working for God, but it's still working. Amen. God is not going to take his gift back. He won't take the gift back. Once God gives something, God is not a liar. God is not a cheater. God cannot do these things like
sure
man. God is not like man. On the Son of Man that he should ever repent. God cannot lie. He cannot give and, you know, give a gift to take it back.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He cannot do that. God is an honorable, righteous God. And
yes,
once
he
give it,
that's right,
it's given. And when he take it, it's taken. He give and he take. Amen?
That's
glory
right
be to God.
Amen.
But whatever the devil gives, when he gives something, it's so that he can have your soul. It's so that he can take over your soul. But God want to take over your soul. God wants your soul to be given to him. Because when we get that, when we give God ourselves, then our soul is all right. Our soul is going to be eternally alive. Amen.
Yeah.
We're not going to shrivel up and die. Amen. We're going to live like a prophet. I'm living to live again. We're going to continue to live. Glory be to God. So thank you, Apostle. Apostle, you was preaching that thing today. I'm telling you, amen, hallelujah. On
hallelujah
fire.
Thank you, Lord. Yes,
glory.
Devil in the mouth.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Christ. don't do it. He tried to tell you, well, it's late, well, it's this, well, it's that. You don't feel good. You don't. You're tired. You're this, you're that. You know, we hear all this stuff before we go to minister. We hear this, you're tired. You can go back to sleep. No, don't worry about it. You can always do it another day. You hear the devil talking. You got to know the voice of the Lord, and you also got to know his talk. Like apostles say, you're hearing three. You're hearing three different voices. You're hearing three different voices. Talk about confusion. That's confusion. You got to know the voice of the Lord. He said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not hear. Amen.
Yes.
Because we hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory be
to God. Amen.
We thank God for such a powerful word from the Lord. It's not apostle. God was speaking through apostle, and that's what we have to always give God praise. I'm only the vessel. I'm only the messenger. I'm the vessel of the Lord. Amen.
I just
deliver the word, and that's all I'm supposed to do. All glory belongs to God. All power belongs to God. Hallelujah. He gave me authority, but that's his authority. And we're not to abuse it. And that's what's going on in church. Leaders are abusing their positions. They're abusing.
Yes, they are. You're exactly
they're
right.
Abusing,
yes, they are.
They're absolutely
Amen.
Abusing. They're abusing their authority. That's what they're
You're
doing.
Right.
And God's not pleased, and God's going to shut them down. It's just
Show
a matter of time.
Yes,
already been shut down. Locked. Going to be put on the doors. They're not even going to be able to pay them big old notes no more. Locks
no.
will be put on
sure
the door because the revival is coming and people are going to hear God. Hallelujah. Once again, it's going to be like that old time religion. Glory be to God. We're going back. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When it was really preaching the word of God, when people was really, really feeling the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost was working in power. Glory be to God. Because now they're tell you come as you are. Yeah, come as you are and leave just like you was when you came in. That's what it is. You're going to leave the same way you went in all the time. It's never going to change without the power of God. And that's what it's going to come. The remnant, God got his remnant, making his remnant staying prepared. God's got a remnant in this earth. He always will, always did have it. And guess what? That revival is coming, and it's going to shut these creatures down. It's going to shut them down. Amen? Because God is, right now,
so
he's burdened up.
That's
He was just burdened when it's Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. He was burdened.
Man.
Glory be to God. Burdened
really
by all the sin. It wasn't just homosexual sin. These people were sinning. They were sinning in all kinds of ways. They were were robbing the people. They were stealing, wheeling and dealing. They were doing everything. And it was a prosperous. Those two cities were very prosperous. But they were liars and cheaters and thieves. That's what
Amen.
They were. And the homosexuality
Amen.
Was there. You know, because it was,
Amen.
It was much economical growth. Economically, they were prospering. They had it all going on. They thought they did. But God destroyed both cities. He destroyed both of them. Many people think it was one city because we say Sodom and Gomorrah. No, it was two cities. And they both were sinning against the Lord. Nobody wanted to hear the word of God. Nobody wanted to hear that. They were so corrupt. They even wanted to sleep with angels. That's how corrupt they were. My God, so corrupt. And so that's the way it is today. And they corrupt, and God shut it down.
Yes, Lord.
Shut
Thank you, Lord.
It down. And the revival is going to take place, and people are going to begin to hear the Lord again. They're going to begin to hear his voice. And the power is going to start to flow. The Holy Spirit's power is going to flow, and people are going to be released, delivered. Yokes are going to be destroyed. People are going to come to the Lord like never before. God ain't going to lose this. God didn't lose. He had the victory, hallelujah, over death, hell, and the grave, and the curse. Amen. He got victory over it. And God, heaven is not going to be empty.
That's right.
Hear me when I say,
Amen.
Amen.
Is not going to be
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
People,
Hallelujah.
If people don't do right, hell going to show up before, but that ain't going to be empty. Hallelujah. Because God
Hallelujah.
Got the power to bring people out.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And many are going to come off the streets. Many young people are going to be preaching
preaching and preaching the word of God on fire for God, because that's this new revival that's coming. It's going to be greater than Azusa Street revival. Greater.
Yeah.
The greatest revival you ever seen in your life is on the way. It's
that's
on
right.
the way. And God's going to smack them down. He's going to smack them down, shut them down, and they ain't going to even be able to preach no more.
My God.
And I feel sorry for that. I feel sorry for that, you know, because they preach all these sermons, but they're preaching through the flesh. It's the flesh. They want people to get excited so they can throw their money on the altar, throw their money at them, kiss their feet, fall down the
altar.
I tell you, they literally be throwing checks and throwing money at them, throwing money on. I see in my own eyes, and they fall down at the altar, but they fall down.
My God.
For the preacher, they're not clapping for the Holy Ghost. They tell you, oh, pastor just arrived in the building. Stand up and clap. What?
Help us, Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm going to say hallelujah to the High God. It ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. I'm not bowing down to no preacher. I'm not
Sure you're right. Come on here.
Man of God,
come on here.
I rise up for God. I rise up for Jehovah. Glory
all right
to
now.
God.
All right now.
Hallelujah.
Right now.
I'm not up for them. No, I do honor people in the thought because we're supposed to. God said so. But you ain't my
there you
God.
Go. Sure you're
you
right.
Are not God. Hallelujah. You are not Yahweh. I ain't standing up when you walk in a building.
That's
and I ain't
right.
standing up and shoot no flag. I don't do none of that. I give God my praise.
Hallelujah.
God deserves honor and the praise from us and not the pastors and the leaders and all of this. No. You're just another man. You're another man. You're another woman. And God loves us all the same. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That don't make you higher than God. That don't make you
right.
be God himself. Hallelujah. But that's how they feel. They make like ministry they make people feel like that. Like they high and above and they're on them high horses. But God's going to knock them down.
He's
coming down. Because guess what? You can't run too fast for God. You can't hide nowhere. You can have all the underground stuff they want. Guess what? I don't care what you got hiding. God already knows it's there. God already knows it's there. And he'll let his people know, glory be to God, just like God would tell them when they go to war, go ahead, take all the booty. Go ahead, take all the stuff. You can take this. It's yours. And ain't nobody going to say nothing about it. Nobody going to be able to do nothing about it. Hallelujah. Some of that stuff that they put on the ground, some of that stuff that they putting in storage and all that, God going to let us know where it's at. Hallelujah. And it's going to be coming to the people of God. It'll come to the people of God. God will use the enemy. He'll even use the enemy to bless. The Bible said he'll even use the enemy to bless. Glory be to God, because the enemy belongs to God. They think they're going to get away from their islands and all these summer places, and they think they're going to get away from God. No. You can't get away from God. God owns the underground, too. He owns everything. You think you're getting hiding from God?
Amen.
No way you're not hiding. God already knows. He'll blow it up. He'll cause it to be blown up. And guess what? God's people still going to be fed. But most of all, we're being fed spiritually. We don't have a spiritual famine going on. We're being fed spiritually. That's the main way to be fed. That's the manna from heaven. That's the word. And that's what we need more than anything. And when we got that, everything else comes. Glory
that's
to
right.
God. Everything else. We'll never be without. Never.
That's right.
Our pantry's going to stay full. We're going to help each other. Glory be to
that's
God.
Right.
There for each other. That's why God said fellowship. Hallelujah.
That's
fellowship.
Right. Hallelujah.
Be a close family. Glory be to God. Because we all need each other. All of us. You need each other. We got God. But God said this is your family. And family
that's
are mixed together. Amen.
That's
glory
right.
be to God.
Amen.
Not like your cousins and your aunties and all them, because most of them don't want to be bothered with us. But I'm talking about God's family. I'm talking about
you're right.
Hallelujah. That's who I'm talking about. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Show us the blood of Jesus thicker than any blood anywhere. My God, they talk about blood thicker than water. No, Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. We got the blood
That's
of
right.
Jesus. And God gave us people who are full, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We
Amen.
Got the blood, the power, the blood. Glory
My
be to God.
God.
Hallelujah. So we'll never be without y'all. Y'all, and keep on confessing, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wise in the Lord. I got great understanding in the Lord. Glory be to God.
Yes.
Everything I need, I got, because I got Jehovah Jireh. Confess this every day. Let it come out of your mouth, and it's going to bless God.
Yes.
Every time we say what God is and what God does, it blesses God.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Keep saying it. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm wise. And I got all the understanding I need because God has given me revelation. God has given me understanding and wisdom. Glory be to God. We got to speak these things because God said we can have it.
Yes.
Amen. We can
Amen.
Have what he said. Apostle said it.
Yeah.
We're covenant. We're in covenant with God. That's
covenant
okay.
With
I'm
God.
Talking
yes.
about
covenant.
Care about home. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And see, one of the things that's really bad, y'all, and I'm gonna shut up after this. We allow distractions. We allow too many distractions. Somebody talked about distractions yesterday. Might have been Minister Jones. Oh no, it was Apostle. Apostle was talking about distractions. We allow distractions. We allow things in our family. We allow things to take us away from what we're supposed to be doing. God is coming first. If you say God's going to come first, we can put down what we're doing. We don't have to answer the phone. We don't have to run to the door. We are doing God's business, and we got to stop letting things distract us.
That's right.
Because the devil does that. He does it. He wants us to be distracted. Glory to God.
No,
thank y'all. Thank y'all. I gotta go now, but I'm just happy to be on the line. I'm going to continue to listen. I hear you, Deacon. Go ahead, son. I hear you. God bless you, Deacon. God bless you.
My God. My Lord. My God. My Lord. My God. My God, my God, my God. Yes, Lord. My God, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yeah. My God, well, my God. My God. My God. My God, we just thank the Lord. We just praise the Lord, praise God on the day. We pray the Lord on the day. Praise the Lord on the word. I just thank God on the word on today. I just thank the Lord I was able. I was able to give God the praise, give him all the honor. I was able to get off today. Got work today. Got off early today. Thank the Lord I was able to get off this day. And we just thank God. Thank the Lord that I was able to get off today. And I just need to give God a praise, give God an honor. Because I think he's here in my life. Thank God for what he's doing. Thank the Lord. If the songwriter said, if the Lord ever done enough, if the Lord ever do anything, he done enough. And I just truly thank the Lord. Thank the Lord on the thank God on the word what I heard on today. We thank God for those powerful comments. Thank the Lord for what I heard on today. I just thank God on yesterday. I couldn't be able to say nothing on yesterday because I knew the word went forward on yesterday. I just thank God we all come and encourage one another. Thank God we come in and help us for one another and encourage one another because on the word, encourage what the word or what Jesus is saying. I just thank the Lord for that because a lot of times we don't never get a chance to thank the Lord for what God is doing. We never give him a chance. Give God a chance. Give him the glory because everything belongs to him. Why we're looking up to man and looking up to these pastors, looking up to these preachers, when we need to be looking up to Jesus. why we try to bow down and why we always looking up to man all the time. And that's why a lot of times we lose focus not looking up to Jesus. That's what's wrong with it. We don't never look up to God enough. We don't never look up to Jesus enough. Never spend time with God. Now, spend time with the Lord. I mean, I'm gonna count. I look up to Jesus. I ain't got time to listen what Susan saying, Harry was saying. My mind focus on my life is focused on Jesus. I ain't got time to be worried about that person over there. I ain't got time for that. My life is worried about on Jesus. No matter what it seems like, now we can. No matter how much it feel like, we think we supposed to look up. We look up to man too much, but we never want to give God a praise. But we don't never want to. We never think that the word. We never let God give God a praise. All we do is look up to man so much. We look up to these preachers. We always looking up to these, to our aunt, to our sisters and brothers. Well, brothers might say, cause see, we going like I always said, we go up and say we love the Lord and we love the Lord. You heard my cry and all that, and guess what? Are you sure that you heard his cry? And then we don't love, heard his cry. And then we sitting up treating the fellow man. You treating the fellow man like that ain't nothing. Like you treat him. Like you mistreat like the way you do. And we doing all this, spend all our time. But I've seen people that have done it too. They spend all their time, they throw all their money up there. They throw it out there at the altar. They do it like they think they're God. See, that's why a lot of times I always say it best. I don't want you to put your hand on me. I don't want you to touch me, put your hand on me, because I don't. I just be honest with you on that. I don't want you to put your hand on me. I really don't. I just be honest with you on that. I don't want to put your hand on me. I really don't. I don't want to put your hand on me. I get my own healing all, put my hand on my own self, touch my own, put your hand all on me, on my own self. That's right. I ain't gonna let you put your hand on me. I really don't. I just be honest with you on that. That's right. Because sometimes you don't mind have your own healing all. And heal your own self. And that's right. If they don't know what they're doing, they're not gonna hear you right. Because a lot of times we got to stop letting people run all over, drain all out. We got to let them doing it. We got to stop them, let them quit doing it, drain at the all. We got to stop them from doing it. We can't let people keep draining us out. We can't let them keep doing it. We got to let them know you can't drain all. Can't be keep draining all. Can't let them do it. We cannot let people, drain out. We be looking up to, we look up to man so much, but we never want to look up to God. We don't never look up to Jesus so much. That's what's wrong with it. We don't never look up to God. We look up to the Lord so much. I just thank God I was able to get off today. I just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I was always glad to come to the church line because we are God's people and we are His people. We are God's people and we are somebody in Christ. And that's why when you were talking about Jeremiah, I had a studying problem. But the Lord really overcome that. I overcome that because He healed our tongue. He healed us. And sometimes we got to. Well, once when we talk better, once we know that the Lord can be released and can loose your tongue. And some act like we ain't never studied in our lives. That's how some of us act. That's how some of us be acting. That's how some of us are acting. Like they ain't never studied their own life. They think they the talk. They think they can be the best speaker in the world, better than the next person. And that's we how we act. That's how some of us are. We act like we stutter in our lives. But we think nobody ain't stutter. But we think we're a professional talker. So we can talk better than this person talk. That's what's wrong with it. We look down on the person how they think they are. But we don't know, look at our own self. But I've stood in pride of myself. That's what I always say, yeah, we all are blessed. Because that's why God is keeping us. And God is doing, he's going to do one of the things in our lives. But we really don't like us. He's going to tend to do wonderful things. He's going to do grateful things. He's going to keep on doing things in our lives that's something we don't know. That he's going to still continue to bless us. He's going to keep us all. He tended to use us. Look, you never used it before. Because everything belongs to God. What I always say, everything belongs to Jesus. Yeah, let the word belong to him. Let the word use this man of God. Use this man of God. That he is, we all his vessel. You want to come on, minister on the word. Come and preach on the word of God. Let the word get in us. We always let the word get in us. Some of us they don't want to get the word in us. That's where some of us are. If we act like we don't want the word get in us, that's how some of us act. How we acting. We don't want nobody to get somebody give word. We're get in us. That's how the way we are. We look down on somebody. Because if you want to tend to act like that, something wrong with that picture. If you acting like you don't want to help your soul, you don't want to help them do nothing. But you think about you so much. And see, sometimes I can't stand to be selfish. I can't stand to be selfish and so childish. That's the way we are. We're so selfish. We can't help your brothers and sisters. Can't do nothing. And you know that's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with us now. So I always got to examine. That's when you're our time. We got to start looking down. I ain't gonna look down on nobody. Look down on the brother and sister. I don't care if a person struggling is laying on the ground. That person might need that help. Helping hand, get off the ground. Because you don't never know. I never know who might help me. I never know who might give me a helping hand. We all never know. Till we get to this place, we got to be careful how we mistreat that brother and sister. We got to be careful how we mistreat one another. Because we never know. We got to be careful how we look down on each other. We got to be careful how we point our finger at one another. Like I said about point the finger. Yeah, you can point the finger. Yeah, when you point the finger, yeah, the four fingers, I got 4 or 5 pointing at me, 4 or 5 pointing at them, how they are. That's right. People don't know that. People don't know that the finger point right back. People don't know. That's what I always say. That's what the Bible says. I got to examine myself. I got to examine my own. That's what it says. You got to examine yourself. I got to examine myself. I can't look at what a person done because I don't know what a person did. I can't look. It's not to me, not to know about that person. That's up between them and God. And I got to tell the person. First, come tell me about their problem. Tell me about person so-and-so. They this and that. Well, I tell them, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I got too much thing to worry about. I don't live there. I got too much thing to be dealing with. I got to concentrate on me. I ain't worried about nobody. My life is worried about is focus. Keep my life focused. Focus. I ain't got time to be dealing with a lot of old bunch of junk, dealing with a lot of foolishness. And that's right. See, you ain't got time to deal with a lot of foolishness. Cause it got to be cut out right now. I ain't got time to be dealing with a lot of foolishness. I really ain't. So all we got to do, we got to pray for them and love them. we got to pray for them. We got to love them. We got to love them and do what the Bible, what the Word of God say. Love them, love them. But, you know, everybody, we can love them. We tell them we love them. But do we mean if we say we love them, they ain't gonna, how they going to love you back if you tell them that you love them? Because a lot of times when I say you got to love a person, you got to truly mean it from the symbol. Don't say you mean it and you don't mean it from the heart. If you don't mean it, you truly love them. Because we got to get in this, because ain't nobody going to love you. But I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody going to love you when they love you like, love like our God, because God loves us all. God loves us. And I tell you what, God loves us more than anything. He loves us. We got to keep our life focused on Jesus, focus on the law, focus on the good law. Look at the man above, because he's the one. You got to look up to Jesus, because ain't nobody going to love you like our God. Because God loves us all. God loves us. Now, you think, we think man loves us. But you supposed to love them and treat them the way you gotta pray for. Yeah, you got to pray for your enemy. Yeah, love your enemy. Yeah, that's true. You got to love your enemy. You got to love your enemy. Despite what they do to you, you got to love them. You got to love your enemy. Love them and pray for them. Love them, pray for them, and move on. Love them, love regardless. If they don't love you back, we got to love them. Because that's what the word of God say. The word of God don't lie. The word of God is the truth. That's why the book of John tells us, the truth shall make us free. I'm not making this up. This is what John said. It was St. John tell us. Because the man of God was preaching. He was preaching. He was in John. He was preaching John chapter 3, verse 16, about the world. Beloved, beloved. That's what he preached on. Man God was preaching about, he was in John chapter 3, verse 16, the third chapter in John. He preached on that. That's how I preached about beloved. That's what he preached on. So we got to love, because he loved us all. We can't go on and have that bitterness in our heart, our bitterness in our heart, hating one another, didn't like one another, mad at one another. You can't stand them. You can't stand him. You can't stand her. I don't like him. Where you get him from? I wish you get him off the call. Get him off. Why you got him on here for? Why you got him on? Well, it's like this to me. Well, it's like this. I come for Jesus. I don't come who don't like me. I don't come for that. But I come for Jesus. And as long as I come for Jesus, I'm gonna pray the Lord. Whatever you say about me, I'm gonna pray the Lord. Whether you like me or not. Well, have you hate me? Have you dislike me? Have you feel like if you tired of me, if you sick of me, then you know what? That's a doctor for you. If you really sick of me, you can go see the doctor if you want to. But Lord, I'm gonna pray the Lord. That's right. I'm gonna pray the Lord whenever you get tired of it, when you get sick of me. And when we say we're so sick, we so sick of this person who we can't stand or who we don't like. Why you got him on here for? Where you get him from? It's the same way God brought them the same way. Cause I don't come and serve man. I don't come to serve man. Cause I don't. I tell you right now, I don't come to serve man. I come to serve the law, baby. I come to the law. Now, whatever you might do to me, say about me, whatever you laugh behind my back, you can criticize behind my back. I'm still going to praise the law. I ain't going to smile behind you. I ain't going to laugh behind your back. Or talk about behind your back. Because, see, that's a sin if I talk. See, that'd be wrong if you talk about spreading behind their back. Because don't you know, you can love a person to death. You can love them to death. See, that's what I was saying about you got to be careful who you let come to you and tell you all full of junk in your head. Because first they ain't love you don't mean they love you a bit more than nothing. And that's the truth, if they don't love you. If they don't love you or worth nothing. You got to be careful who you let call you with some junk. Say they love you so much. They say love you so much, then guess what? They're going to put their mouth on somebody else. And then that's how stuff gets started. That's how all foolishness gets started. All junk, they get put out. But it's not a certain person. And no, we all pray for them. See, that's what I don't do. I don't come get the fellow man. I don't come against them because I don't. I don't come here and put a mouth on somebody because guess what? I'm the one gonna be accountable to that. And that's right. Because we don't know when we're gonna be accountable. How we are. Now that's right. We don't know when we might be accountable. Huh? We don't never know. When we be accountable. We have the way we are. That's why it don't even surprise me, it don't even bother me, you know. I'm not upset. I'm not pleased. I'm not even. It doesn't bother me who don't come. I'm not impressed who don't come. Like I always say, I ain't worried about who know the word, who know more than I know, who know more better than I know. Just like whatever you do, you can do whatever you feel like, as long as you think. You think, well, what's going to impress me? Well, what impressed me? God impressed me more anything in my life. Partner, God can impress me more anything in my life. God impresses me. God the first thing in my life. And whatever you go, I always said about you, you're going to have your affair if you want to. Better affair, but way better than me. But I tell you, don't be so surprised how you had your affair. And I tell you what, when you had your affair, you might not can't stand it to have your affair. You might not can't stand it no more. Then you get to the point you get tired and get twisted. Then you're gonna get one some answer about them having no one night of fast and all that old junk. You will come to a point. We'll get tired of it. You won't have your fast not anymore. And what we need to be doing, we're spending more time with Jesus, have more fast with the Lord. Why would I have foul with somebody? Somebody be a one-night stand and all that old junk. We need to be spending more time with the Lord. That's what we need to be doing. How much you better than the next person? How about how they are? Because you think a person don't know no better. Don't know next to the next person might know. So that you better how they are. But I just thank God. I thank the Lord on the word of what I heard on today. I thank God for on yesterday. I didn't get a chance to say much yesterday because I don't know. Every time I say something, I get cut off. Every time I try to say something, but I know the enemy don't want me to say nothing. I know they don't want me to say anything. But I say this, but the devil is a lie. I'll call him a lie. I'm gonna tell him he a liar. He a liar, and the truth not even in him. I always say, when you don't like the devil, you can't stand the devil. You can't stand it. Can't stand the devil. I let the devil know. You can't stop me for what I do. Can't stop me. Yeah, he might drink his coffee. That's all he gonna. Yeah, he know the word too. Yeah, he know the word. Yeah, he know the thing too. Yeah, he know the thing too. Yeah, he know the word. Yeah, he know everything. Yeah, no flip through those scriptures. Yeah, he know more. Yeah, he know the word. Yeah, he got power. Yeah, he also that he dangerous too. Y'all know that he dangerous. Yes, he is dangerous. And if you don't know, someone say he ain't there. Okay now. Yeah, he is dangerous. And if you keep playing with him, you'll find out see that for yourself. Yes, he is dangerous. Oh yes, he is dangerous. You better be careful, cause that's a thing. That's a thing you can't play with. I don't play with the enemy. I don't play with him. I don't mess with him. I don't play with him, cause I sure don't. When I say I can't stand him, I can't stand him. Know what I just said? I can't stand him. I let him know. I tell him that he's ugly to his face. I let him know he's ugly. I let him know they're ugly. I tell him that he's ugly. But I try to look up the law. What I look up for? Now I'm looking up to Jesus. That's what got my back. God got my back. So I just thank God for the word what I heard on today. And I'm not hung up on folks. I'm not hung up on everybody. I'm not hung about who on amen, hallelujah to me. I ain't hung up to that. I ain't worried about it. Cause that don't impress us, man. But what really impressed me is Jesus impressed me more better than anything. I ain't impressed who speak better than somebody else. Cause they so powerful than the next person. Cause of how a person sang, I don't care how you could be a better singer. You could be a better celebrity. You could be more famous all you want. And still don't know that you are celebrity. Don't know that you famous. Don't even know that they ain't famous. And we all know that Jesus are more famous. God is the one are famous. Cause he is more famous than he more famous than Beyonce and Jay-Z. And also Will Smith. That's right. God is one famous. And that's the truth. That is the truth. God is famous. God is famous. Yes, he is. He also is a celebrity too. But we got to realize that. So meet us and thank the Lord. I was looking at a TV. And he got a, looking at the TV, this man got a snake out of a toilet. Looking, got a big old, looking, took a snake out of a toilet. And you know, that is so powerful. Man. And we got to be careful who we let coming out. We got to be let. Who we let come in the house. We got to be. We got to be really careful. We got to be real careful who we let anything come in the house. We got to be real careful. I just thank the Lord for, golly, man, grace of mine. I want to just thank Lord on the word what I heard on today, and thank God for what had been said. Thank God for you, Apostle. Thank God for what had been said. It was an awesome word of God. So may God continue to continue to bless you, bless on the word and what he do in your life and what he will do and what he will continue to keep doing in your life. That he gonna, cause he's doing, he will do the rest in your life, because he's going to do more blessings come in your life. And I just truly thank God. I always glad to hear a word on today. Glad I came by and made a comment on today. Because I don't say too much. I don't probably I don't say a whole lot. I just thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for the word of what I heard on today. It's an awesome word of God. So I thank God on the word. Thank God that what has been said. And thank God for you. Thank God that you is his vessel. We all his vessel. And thank God what God is you taking us to a whole new dimension. The word is going out. The word is going. That word is going out through the soul out there. And may God continue to bless you on the word, even though who get mad at you, keep teaching the word. If God, who get mad at you, go ahead on and teach the word. Who get mad with you, if as you said, if they get mad at you talking about the church, we got to keep talking about the church. That is so important, to preach about the word, preaching about the church, preaching. Because we got to see what's going on